This episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of D-Train and Delicious. You can support us too at truthmeats.com. Click on the donate link.
What's going on over here? It's all quiet and stuff.
Chabo, just give me a couple of minutes. I'll be with you.
Well, I said to busy doing something.
You can talk to Not Shocked.
Yeah, Not Shocked. It's good to see you, mate. I'll tell you what, I remember what I said earlier on today when I was in the Fakeologist audio chat. That was a fun summer, man. I enjoyed that.
It was. I just thought it was just really kind of bullshit the way that went down, because I was like, oh, the soundboard's gone. And then I heard something that came through the soundboard. I was like, wait a minute. It's only gone for you. And I was like, or select people. Because I can still play clips. And I'm like, that's bullshit right there. It's like, you're going to take it away from everybody. You know?
I appreciate what you're saying. Here's my take on the thing. To me, it's like other people are making a bigger deal of it. I'm just like, If I have the soundboard, great. If I don't have it, okay. It's their server. It is Abin Wildtime server. They're the ones making it. It's other people making a big deal of it, you know? And it's the same with Abin. Right. The whole JLB has a website where people pay money. It's like, he's the one making a big... He's, you know, Abin, he's a decent guy, man. But he has his little idiosyncrasies and his little hang-ups. And, you know, we all do. So I try to be, you know what I mean? I try to be sympathetic. And Ab's in a tough position because Wild Times is basically working for Ab for free. He's putting in hours and hours and hours a week for free for Ab. So Ab wants to stay on side with him because he's basically free labor. He's like a free intern. And Wild Times doesn't like the soundboard. And this is my fault because I played that clip of Wild Times, you know, talking about beating his sister, which I didn't have to do that, but I thought it was funny. And then Wild Times took issue with that, and here we are. So, you know, Ab's in a tough situation. And then, you know, Wild Times, he's a proud person. He doesn't like feeling like he's being taken the piss out of, even though I play clips of everybody. I would even play clips of me to take the piss out of myself. In fact, I've done it before. But he's a very proud person, and I can see where they're coming from, mate. I don't take this shit personally, you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, no, I wasn't like saying it was totally directed at you, but that was...
It is totally directed at me. Of course it is.
Of
course it is.
But I mean, it's like, if you're going to, you know... I don't know. I just thought because they made it sound like they were taking a poll. Like, does everybody want to keep the soundboard or get rid of it?
Oh, yeah. Did you hear, Ab? Like, oh, there's been a groundswell. A groundswell?
Yeah.
Wild Times is not a groundswell. Does not a groundswell make, my friend.
Yeah, but it's more of if they were going to take a poll, it should have been, should JLB be allowed to have the soundboard, yes or no? Not should we get rid of the soundboard, you know? Because I thought, oh, the soundboard's either going or staying. I didn't get the impression that it was just the JLB loses soundboard privileges.
Well, I'll give you the hot tip right now. Between you and me and all the listeners here at truthmeats.com, I'll give you the hot tip. If I stop going there with the soundboard, and if Rick stops going there to start the show on Saturdays, the Saturday shows and the Sunday shows of Fakeologist won't be what they used to be. And I thought they were lots of fun back in the summer. And then once Ab sends his flying monkeys over here to recruit people to come back to his calls, if that doesn't work, you'll probably see a change of policy over there. I mean, Ab's a smart guy. He'll get the hint pretty quick that people just want to have some fun, and certain policies are not as fun. You see what I'm trying to say? So,
I don't know. I see.
We had a good summer, didn't we? We had a good summer, bro. We really did. Hey, hold on. I've got a soundboard here. I just realized there's a soundboard button over here at Truthmeats. All right. Have I got any clips from you? No, I don't. I've got this one from Linda.
Go into that closet 3 days naked. You can do that.
She's always so... She's a good sport about it. Like, she's never like, oh, blah, 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 clips. She's been cool. I like Linda.
Yeah, right after you stepped out, she somebody said, oh, I don't know. I think Billy asked her. And, she's like, I'm all for it. I like the soundboard. So she supported it as well.
Well, look, whatever happens, Not Shocked, whatever happens, bro, we had a good summer. That was fun, man.
Yeah, that was fun.
Because some days I'd wake up and I'd be like, I don't want to go out and do anything today. Like, I'll go out later. and it was too hot. It's freaking so hot in this city, bro. So I'll be like, okay, I'll jump on the internet. Who's on there? And then you guys would be there, and I'd just jump in, and I would say probably 80 or 90% of those calls were fun. At least I would say. At least 80%. And it was just a good way to spend a Saturday afternoon. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, there's nothing else going on. It's always fun to jump in. But I haven't been on in a while, and it was kind of funny because there weren't any audio chats going on. I was like, I'm just going to try to listen, you know. I've been sick, so I was like, I can't really talk, but I can never get – half the time I go to that live stream and it doesn't work for me, so I just go in there and stay on mute. Well, nobody was in there, so I jumped on Truth Meets because a few people were on. And damn if Ab didn't jump in like 5 minutes later. Well, oh, you've been over here? Is that where you've been? I was like, oh my gosh. Like, get out of my business. I'll do what
it's a little bit high schoolish, isn't it?
It's a little bit. Yeah, it was just coincidence that I was in there. Yeah. And that's why I was like, are these confrontations even real? Like some of them, I think Ab tries to manufacture some kind of drama.
If you didn't know better, you'd think that this is all kayfabe. If you didn't know better.
yes.
Man, he got uppity about me saying that he said that Donald Trump's a woman, which, by the way, he did do that. I don't have a clip of it.
Yeah, this is before I started the clips. I've heard the clip. Heard the clip before. So,
do you want my opinion on what happened here? Here's what's happened. He watches too much programming, too much transvestigation programming. And he gets caught up in these hive minds and these thought bubbles, these like these echo chambers. And then he'll start saying stuff. And then people like me who are not in those particular echo chambers, we're like, Uncle Lab, what the hell did you just say? Because he doesn't have people pushing back against this. And this happens to a lot of us. Like we're in these little echo chambers and we start to think things are obviously true. And then somebody outside of that bubble is like, what the hell are you talking about? And it's sort of, it's a jarring experience. And I think he's going through this experience where he's become convinced that all of these men are women and vice versa because he watches and listens to so much of this shit. And then someone like me, he's like, hey, I'm glad. Yeah, in the echo chamber, they all are on the same. They're all completely off with the fairies, mate. And then, Lab, you know, I agree with you about a lot of the fakery but this particular topic, Donald Trump's a woman, you understand when you say stuff like that, you don't sound like you things aren't very well, you know what I'm trying to say? This is not the same. This is not the same as saying that they're lying about the shootings or the bombings. This is a different thing, and you have no evidence for it.
Yeah, I try to think to myself, can I repeat what was just said to, say, a normie? And am I going to sound like a total lunatic? And then I'm like, okay, yeah, then maybe I need to rethink this. Like, I need to dig a little deeper.
Opinions would make me sound like a lunatic to the normies. However, a lot of my opinions, as crazy as they sound, I can show you the evidence. Whereas, what is the evidence that Donald Trump's a woman? Oh, some guy on YouTube put a red triangle on his head. And he said, this is the wrong shape red triangle. That's the evidence. Right. Oh, his hips are too wide. Some men have wide hips. Stipe Miocic used to be the heavyweight champion of the UFC. He has wide hips. I don't know why, but he does. Now, this man... Is someone trying to say this man, the heavyweight champion in the UFC, is a woman? I don't think so. Some men have small hands, like Angus Young from AC/DC. He says he has small hands, but he had to practice more to play guitar, and he got very good at guitar because it's more difficult when you have small hands, like smaller fingers and shit. Like Jimi Hendrix, Jimi Hendrix had massive hands, man, like the size of dinner plates. Probably made it a bit easier for him to learn guitar. Angus Young didn't, had small hands. So some men have small hands, some men have wide hips, some men have slightly more feminine face. It doesn't mean they're women. You understand?
Exactly. I've got some neighbors. If I transvestigate to them, I'll be like, oh, she's a man. But I'm like, she's got two kids. Like, it's like, you know, it's like ridiculous. So I'm like, all right, I just can't get on board with the whole transvestigation stuff.
Yeah, well, Uncle Ab said that Donald Trump is a woman, and I'm not going to let him live that down unless or until he says, maybe I went too far with that one.
Which that's my brother, Wayne Gretzky.
That was clear. That was very cheeky of you, not shocked. That was a good one. And he didn't answer. He said, oh, I'll talk about Tiger Woods. And I was like, hold on a second now. Tiger Woods and Wayne Gretzky are very different people.
Yeah, I was like, how did he get in the conversation? Totally different sport.
Different sport, totally different people, different countries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one was... I was just kind of being funny because I think he was doing it for shock value anyway on the radio. But still, we can't say he didn't say it.
What about
John Lewis? What about him?
Yeah, when he's about to retire on November 8th.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah,
I listened to you chatting with Rick because it said Rick, Rollo, and Velocet. And I listened to this. I think that was what happened. I listened to you and Rick crapping on for hours and hours. And maybe Velocet popped in at the end. And I was like, this is false advertising. Goodness gracious, man.
No, Velocet.
You shame yourself.
Are you talking about the recent Rick and Rollo?
I can't remember which one it was. I can't remember. All I know is I was listening because it said Velocet was on there.
You certainly were.
The most recent one, I said I was in it. But it's only because I was playing the bell. It was a disgrace. I was just belling. The whole gag was I played a bell.
Yeah,
it was counting
terrible.
A bell every time I said John Laws. And then it started off as a good joke. And then I expected it to be like every time Rollo said John Laws, it would be a bell. Like, Rollo says John Laws too much. But then everyone started taking advantage of Frank saying John Laws and Verilicious is saying John Laws and D-Train's Ab. Everyone's going, John Laws, John Laws, John Laws, every 5 fucking seconds. And then the whole show became a debacle. It would have been over 2,000 at least. I had to generate a log to see what the fuck happened there.
It was
too much. I wouldn't be surprised if Ab came over here to do that to turn my platform into a joke. But
I'm still glad that that Rick made it onto John Laws and
focus too much on that.
JLB and
Not Shocked have come in and hang out
and Linda's here as well.
Yeah, Linda's here. Oh, Linda. And we've come to hang out and do something different. So we'll go with that.
Yeah, I'll be quiet. Well, I mean, I'm an enemy of the state. I keep saying that. That's me.
Isn't that funny when soundboard's introduced? It's good.
Yeah, the soundboard.
Yeah, that's great.
It's good stuff. Yeah, yeah. So anyway, I appreciate the support Jeff.
My voice is very loud. I am the enemy of the state.
Hey, it's great to be here. Can I say this, Velocet? I'm sorry I haven't been since you launched this platform.
Okay.
I should have been here like once a week doing a weekly show. I haven't done that yet, but just give me until maybe the middle of November and I will do a weekly show. And
there's no pressure whatsoever.
I'm
going to
make Truth Meets Great Again.
There's no.
Great again.
There's no. I wasn't trying to put pressure on you to like. You have to. This is obviously the best place to be, and we're friends, and it's a good place to be. But I never thought that like you should have to do it. I just thought maybe if you know, give the same respect you gave to Fakeologist. If I'm doing the same thing, do it for me. This
Rick
is a good place to be.
Rick and Rollo.
No matter what your age.
You're listening to another conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, on with the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
I wish. I know. Does anyone know the temperature?
I do.
Yeah, it's like fucking.
I'm kidding.
19 degrees here in Lithgow, New South Wales, where you can subscribe and donate to.
Who the fuck cares?
I know. I was just being funny.
Who gives a fuck?
Right.
Hold on. Let me just put this thermometer up. John, not John Laws.
You got to measure the air, not your ass.
No. I'm doing.
I was going to say if it's 90.
There's a guy called Donald. I'm doing it.
We don't need that.
I'm doing an anal reading from Donald Trump.
No, I think it would be Velocet, if you could work in a blood alcohol level for Rollo.
We should just have that. Welcome to TruthMeets.com. The current blood alcohol content of Rollo is 0.56.
Here, I'm doing one.
So that's like a barometer.
No, I'm doing one.
I don't think it's ever that low.
Joe Biden right now. Oh, here we go. Let's have a look at Joe Biden. Anal reading. Nah, that cunt's dead. That
okay,
cunt's dead.
You better get your point out.
The temperature in Toronto is, who gives a fuck?
You better make your point, because I'm going to mute you if you keep talking over everyone like this.
Oh! My bad.
I just left Fakeologist. The last argument I had there, and this is one of many. Like, it's not a new thing. I'll go back. I'll do it again. We all know this is a story as old as time. But the thing I brought him up on just then before we came over here was the thing he was saying about how it was something about how he didn't say I said something, and I was like, what? He has said he always comes here and says little like chipping away comments about things.
Who?
I'm talking about Ab.
Who are you talking about? Ab. Fakeologist.
He's just claiming I did like he didn't say this, and I'm like, no, you did.
Okay.
If I go back and find the evidence, he did say it. I'm like, well, what? Don't come here and shit on things over and over again and then say you didn't say it. That just bugs me. Rubs me the wrong way because I know I heard it. I know. I was in the kitchen last night listening along, and then he said some little remark, and then I go, oh, you said this. No, I didn't. No, I didn't. Not true. I know
for a fact. Well, he can rub anyone up the wrong way. Keep going. Yeah.
There might be another reason JLB lost the soundboard over there, because he would pull up a clip because he'd tell Abby said something. He's like, no, I didn't. He's like, you want me to play the clip? He probably got tired of that, getting called out on stuff.
JLB actually has the clips, though. I don't cut the specific things Ab says. It's just one of those things where John LeBon might cut the clips, but I just remember listening along. And then I'm pretty sure I did say it.
Before I had a soundboard, it was Vela Sid playing. This is back during the Fart podcast days. We're talking like 5 years ago. This is before I ever had a soundboard. Vela Sid would play funny clips of everybody, including me, taking the piss out of me, and it was funny. And then he it's all meant to be fun and games, man.
He was on those shows, and then he told Rick and Noise he doesn't remember appearing on the Fart. I got a message from both of them going, what? Ab is saying he never appeared on the Fart. And they were bemused. Like they were talking about the Fart, and Ab said, I don't remember ever appearing on the Fart podcast. And they just messaged me and said, what? We didn't appear on the Fart? Are you kidding? Like, you were always on the Fart. You were like a regular guest all the time. And he says he has no memory of that. So
By the way, we should all, I just want to say this, you guys can agree, disagree. Mm. This is all in the context of, I'm glad Fakeologist exists. Uncle Ab's been doing excellent work for a long time. This is a disagreement over a minor technical thing. It doesn't change the fact that I'm glad Fakeologist exists. Even if he's become a bit curmudgeonly in his older age.
That's what still it was. That's what it was.
And if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have met you, Velocet. So I'm
I remember the thing it was. Ab was saying, I don't want soundboard on Truth Meets. He was saying that to you as if you can't do it here and you can't do it on Truth Meets. I have told you time and time again, you can do it here. We allow it here. It's a thing here.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said if it offends anyone, I said do it with reason. I said if you're like tricking people and it becomes a problem, I'll take offense. But Rollo, you're talking over me. Stop. Let me make my point.
Sorry, my bad.
I was just remembering. That's the thing that I took offense to. Ab saying, I said, we don't allow here. Mm-hmm. And that's wrong. I said from day one, you can have the soundboard here. I don't mind. If it's done in a jokey nature where people should no, you're joking. What's the problem?
Which is
right?
What you do.
I'm not claiming anyone punched their sister or did anything that Ab's crowd take offense to. Everyone here knows it's a joke, and I would encourage JLB to use it. If it's comedically timed and professional, and we all get it's a little joke, a subtext to what's happening. Fucking great. I want to make good radio. That's the perfect way it should be used. That's why I allow it. Because if someone brings their own soundboard to Discord, great, good. I didn't have all the sound. I'm not going to provide all the sound clips for you to use. Bring your own. Do what you want to do. Make a good show. Fantastic. And you're the fact that Ab was saying it's not welcome on Fakeologist or Truth Meets, he was extending his own ideas to me and projecting it onto me, and that was wrong. I have said from day one it's fine here. And I've told JLB it's fine here. JLB thinks it's fine here because I said it was fine here. So to say that publicly, I deny it, that's wrong. That's wrong.
You're very jealous of your soundboard. Sometimes
my soundboard's different to Jay. You got to understand, the Discord soundboard's different to what I do. I'm running a whole radio studio. I've got a whole collection of things. That's my own thing. I'm just saying, if they have their own sound clips they want to play in Discord, you're more than welcome to.
You blockheaded bastard. If you know someone nicks that from
it's not about stealing, right? They're not gonna steal those things. You're misunderstanding. What I have is a whole library. I'm running a radio station. That stuff's all my thing. I'm just saying, if someone has a clip, something they see or hear, or they want to play it back in a show, of course they should. It's for reference purposes. Play context. Do those things. Absolutely. You're imagining like I don't want people to infringe on fart podcast copyright. That's a completely different issue. All the proprietary content of the fart and all that's a whole different library. It's different. Yeah. It's different.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Your fridge is actually informing the government on what you're eating.
They may well be.
G'day, Rick. G'day, Rick. Yeah, that was good. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe the drama has been overdone, but it does sound a little bit high schoolish, and we're all better than this. But one more thing: how long do you think Rick will last away from Fakeologist? I give him 1 week. 1 week before he's back there.
Yeah.
He's almost.
Should we make a financial bet about that?
I've got no money to bet, mate. I'm skin and bones over here, mate.
I'd love Rick to just come and. He does so many shows for me already, and I've said as much. Like, man, you're the whole one man show. You talk, you do everything. You've got three or four shows going. Just hang out here. I'm more than happy.
How long has he been the anchor for Saturdays for Fakeologist? It's at least a few years.
Listen, Rollo,
shut up. Rick's like someone who has so much to say.
The dog to play with me. Do you understand that?
Rick's got so much to say. Yeah, he splits his time. I think Rick loves the attention so much that he still believes he can do he's doing BTOL with Rick, Rick and Rollo, Bongversations. That's just on my platform. Then he still wants to go on Saturdays and do. Rollo, shut the. Okay, you're getting muted. I can't deal with the interruption. Yeah, yeah. Sorry. All right. Yeah. I'll unmute you when we're ready to have a chat. Rick's thing is like he's a very talented speaker. He's a guy who I can imagine myself being this way. You can just shuffle around your house, have a few drinks, and just talk off the top of your head. And he has so much to say that he can actually literally fill the time of talking on Truth Meets for 5 or 6 shows and talking on Fakeologist. Here's my issue as a platform owner and creator. I want to diversify. It can't just be a platform about Rick. I need other people to take charge, to diversify the shows and flesh out the content and make the platform be, you know, like big with lots of different people talking about lots of different things. I can't just rely on Rick all the time. What Rick wants to do,
the other issue is, as much as I would love to come and help you, because I'm a bit of a speaker myself, it's kind of what I do. It's only a small problem. I'm sure we'll get past it. Is that the other guy, the main talent here, Rick? He kind of does hate my guts. That's the only other issue that we need to overcome. You know what I'm trying to say? It'd be strange if you had. Suppose I was doing a weekly show here, and he was doing his 2 shows a week, whatever it is, and the 2 main dudes who are doing regular shows here. I've got no issue with him, but he does kind of hate my guts. That would be a weird dynamic. That's kind of where we're headed, I think, in a couple of weeks. It's when I start doing my weekly shows here. That's kind of where we're headed.
That's the hard dynamic to overcome here is that I want to be a platform provider. I don't want to take sides. What if you did your show and said certain things and Rick does his show and said certain things? My biggest issue is that you're both going to be like, or Rick might say things, you might... I don't want people to be arguing about topics. That's what I don't like. I don't want the issues with he said this, he said that, I don't agree. This place is supposed to be everyone has their time slot to say what they want. I just provide the infrastructure. That's all I want to do is provide a method for really clean, unique, professional podcasting. If the hosts of individual shows don't agree, I don't know what I can do about that. I don't know how to resolve those problems. But I know Rick ducked out because he had some issues with Faker, just on the most recent thing, just tonight. And I've always told him, like, you've always got a place here. You can always talk. But, like, I can't make a platform where everyone agrees with each other. That would be the antithesis of what the point of the project is, right?
Looks like we lost Rollo. When he's on mute, Rollo's out. Yes, so anyway, so my hope is that in a couple of weeks, because I'm busy now, between now and the election, I'm really focusing on this Trump stuff. It's really kind of consumed me. But once the whole Trump thing is over, in a couple of weeks, I'll finish up a couple of projects, and then I'll come and do a weekly show over here at truthmeets.com. That's the plan. That's the hope. That's the intention. That's the goal. That's the vision.
Trump won't be over, though.
You think he's going to win? You think he's going to win?
I don't. I do not.
Neither do I.
But it doesn't matter. He's still...
I ever told you that I lost $300. In the last 4 years. Did I ever tell you I lost $300 on Trump? I lost $300 on Trump 4 years ago.
Did you?
Story.
Wow.
Yep. And because at first he was winning when they did the election. At first he was winning. I was in Malaysia at the time. And at first he was winning. And I was like, aha, I'm such a genius. I'm so smart. He was absolutely dominating the polls. I thought I was a genius. And then something happened and all of a sudden the results were reversed. And I was like, what the hell is going on here? And then anyway, eventually I went to bed and I woke up the next day and he'd lost. And I was like, that's the last time I'm betting on politics. I'm not as good at predicting these things as I thought I was. That's it. I'm not doing that again.
You can thank Georgia for part of that.
Well, you know, I was listening to Trump and Rogan. You know, Trump was on Rogan's show yesterday, and I was listening to that last night. And Rogan made a good point that I hadn't really thought of before. And I'm not a big Rogan fan or defender, but sometimes people make good points, whether you like them or not. He made this point. He's like, Rogan says, I don't know a single person who doesn't believe that there is at least some corruption in vote counting, just like there's some corruption in everything that humans do. Some humans make mistakes or they do the wrong thing intentionally. In every field, so in vote counting, if they're counting millions of votes, even if someone didn't, this is my words on his, even if they didn't steal an election, somebody in some office probably did do something wrong. So the point he was making was, everyone agrees there must be some corruption. So why is it like a verboten topic? Why can't we talk about it? And I was like, Joe Rogan, the way he put it was much better than I just put it then. I was like, that's a very good point. Yeah. Like the issue isn't whether or not there was some bullshit. The issue is, was it enough bullshit to affect the elections? That's the issue here.
Exactly. Yeah. I actually called my local state representative after the election. And I was like, what? I was like, because I knew him on a personal level. I was like, hey, like what's going on here? And he's like, he goes, Jeff, he's like, there's corruption in every election. He goes, this is nothing new. I mean, he just admitted it outright. He goes, this happens. He's like, it's happened since there's been elections. There's always corruption. He goes, it was just like you said. He's like, was there enough to affect the election? He goes, and this time I think there was. And he actually went to our local board of electors and found a list of registered voters who had moved out of the county and were full-time residents in different states. And he said, I want these removed from the election, allowed election list or whatever. Voter list, the voter roll is what they call it. And they wouldn't remove it. And he goes, I tried to make a change. He's like, it's just going to continue to happen. He's like, and that's just our county. You know, it's where we live. And it's known that in Atlanta, it's even, it's worse. It's just super corrupt. And that's where all the votes are.
Is yours one of those swing states, one of those battleground states you have to win to win the
election?
Yeah, it is. That's why. That makes sense. You wouldn't bother trying to rig California or New York because it's
no, no, because you know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But Georgia had historically been, you know, a Republican state. Like they didn't even try to win it. But Atlanta has grown so much that.
So do you think Kamala's going to win fairly, or do you think it's going to be rigged? Like, do you think she's going to win, but do you think it's going to be above the board, or like above board, or you know, below the
board? Oh no, it's totally rigged.
You think so?
Oh yeah. No matter who wins, I think it's rigged.
Dude, one of the interesting things that Trump said on Rogan yesterday was how he thinks the pollsters are just bullshit artists taking his money to do polls, and then they come back and they say it's 52-48. He's like, I didn't even think they called anybody.
if you look at any of the polls,
this is what he said on Joe Rogan's show. He has more than 20 million views, man.
Yeah.
I know people think this guy's an actor or whatever, but this is a dude who's running for president. And he says, and he last night in his Sam Rogan thing, he was very low energy. Sometimes he's high energy, sometimes he's low. He was very low energy on Rogan. And so he wasn't doing it in a funny way. He was doing it in a serious way. He's like, so these pollsters, they come to me and it costs $500,000. And they come back and they say, oh, it's 52-48. He says, I don't think they're even calling anybody, Joe. I think this, he says, I think maybe sometimes they do, but sometimes they don't. They just take the money and then they come back and they say 51, 49, 46. And he wasn't saying it like as a joke. He was being, I found it very funny.
There's a clip in the FACO channel. I can't remember. I think it's just in the general channel, but that's what the guy that's doing the interview says. He's like, that's all it is. You donate to a campaign. You think you're donating to Trump, but you're not. You're donating to these pollsters and all the industry that he has to pay to get elected. He's like, it's controlled by the corporations. He's like, it's not controlled by the voters. Cause in America, we don't actually elect the president. Every state determines who I'm trying to think what they're called.
The Electoral College.
Electoral College, yeah. And so they send delegates to go vote for the president, not us.
But in theory, they have to vote along the lines of the results, like in theory.
In theory, but if you look at each state has their own rules. Some states divide their votes. You know, like if Trump wins 40% and Kamala gets 60, then they'll send, you know, 60% of their electors vote for her and 40% vote for Trump. Most states will bundle all of them together. It's all or nothing.
Well, I can tell you this, man.
Every state can do whatever they want to.
One thing Uncle Ab and I agree on is that the elections are actually real. Like, they're real elections.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because you know some people are like, oh, it's all fake. The votes don't matter at all. And I'm like, I've actually counted votes at elections. And with my eyeballs, people do vote for blue and red. And if blue gets more, their guy gets in. I've seen it with my eyeballs. So this idea that, oh, it's all fake.
No.
I'm kind of getting sick of these people who say this kind of stuff, man.
Rick and Roller.
Truth Reveal.
No matter what you say.
You're listening to another conversation.
Or your preoccupation.
On truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now on with the conversation.
The art of conversation.
Right.
You know, unless you married a dog like Ab.
What? Oh my gosh.
Just to interrupt the conversation for a second. So, John, you're going to come here. You're going to come here and do a regular show. Is that what I could infer? From
I'm thinking mid-November, because for the next couple of weeks, I'm busy with all this Trump crap. But after that,
I know. That's tough with all the election campaign.
What day would be best? Because I have no commitments.
It's open to you. You pick the day you want to host a regular thing. Send me some artwork. It will be uploaded as the John LeBond special. No worries. It'll be fantastic.
Because I've got this other issue, man. These people have been joining my Patreon, but I don't actually have anything there. I used to have a Patreon like 8 years ago. Then I said, okay, forget Patreon. I'm going to build my website. So I said, everyone on Patreon, just cancel the Patreon. If you want to come to JLB, just do that. So they did that. But I still have a Patreon page because I am a patron of many people. Like, I used to be a patron of like a dozen people. Now it's like maybe half a dozen people.
So it's as a user, not a receiver.
Yes. Yes, however, I still have my initial page there because there was one dude who refused to use PayPal. He's like, I want to come to your site, but I refuse to use PayPal.
His name, Elon Musk.
And so anyway, so I left it open. But lately people have been joining my Patreon, even though there's nothing there, and it says don't join here. So I'm thinking of starting a new Patreon, like not a new one, like the same one that's there, but I'll start doing a weekly show, like the John LeBond show. So now I'm thinking maybe I can kill two birds with one stone. I can do a weekly show here at truthmeets.com and then maybe like do an after show over on Patreon or something. I don't know. I'm thinking, because people keep joining. I've got to give them something. Like they get
we need to get together and discuss strategy because I've got all these resources available to produce highly processed professional shows. I just need the people to come and do it. And that's where I don't take sides with content. Sarah and I could do, you know, a couple of hours every week. We can sit and talk. But I want this to be bigger than that. I want like constant output of crazy. I've built the sites, I've built the hosting, I've built the platform. It's all there. I've got forums in the pipeline. I've just got to have a few people who are forum familiar to help massage how we do threads and how to make it all work. I've got mail outs and all kinds of things in the pipeline. I just need people to get on board. And if you're willing to do that,
I look in the refrigerator and I'm like, Joel, you are such a good provider.
I provide everything. It's not so much content exclusivity. I'm not looking to harness JLB and lock him. I'm just trying to, you know, like you can have your own thing and make this an appearance place. And I want it to be that for more than one person. I want it to be like a place where people can showcase their things, have conversations. Okay. We integrate a lot of voice platforms so you can have this wide thing where you talk to a lot of people and then you go and upload it to your, like the rights are non-exclusive. I would give you every right to upload whatever you record here to your own site, you know, all those kinds of things. I'm trying to work at how you master like a single place to showcase everything, but still have your own thing. That's what I'm trying to work on. So
I'm on board.
I would encourage you totally. Like, yeah, we can figure this out. I'm sure. Mm-hmm.
Well, what I've been doing this for a long time, and what I know is that people love consistency. If they know that every Monday or every Wednesday or whatever, it doesn't really matter what date is. As long as they know that at this time, this is going to happen, people love that.
That's been the big thing for me, is realizing Bongversations has to be every week. Bongversations has the best listens. You know why? Because it's consistent. Every week those guys do the show, and it's always there. And that's the best performing show out of all of them because it's consistent, right? It's a regular produced show that happens every week.
Yeah. Yeah. You got it.
Yeah. Thanks, Rollo.
That's the beauty. That's the beauty of, that's the beauty of when it comes to AM, FM radio, it doesn't matter. It's like you just got to know where to be at that.
Did Christy want you to go to bed a few hours ago?
I was so looking forward to, Joe Rogan and
are you and Chrissy both under the same roof again, Rollo? Is she putting up with you again?
You don't know that?
Nope.
Rollo came up with this brilliant thing. It's a brilliant strategy, right? Because his sobriety? Wife. Because
that would have worked.
So, no. Stuck to it. Rollo obviously had this issue with his neighbors. And a long time ago, his wife realized he was a lost cause and left and got her own house, got her own car, went and did her own thing.
Can't blame her.
And then Rollo... Don't blame me one bit. No, I wouldn't either. But Rollo came up with this brilliant strategy where I'll piss off my neighbors so much that I'll get a court order to leave my house, and then the only excuse my wife will have is to take me back to remove me from the house where my neighbors live. So... Now the house is up for sale. He had to move back in with Christy. So now he's back where he wanted to be, where he lives with Christy, and he talks on the balcony. He talks on her balcony all night with us, and he doesn't live at his own house anymore.
These drunken ramblings aren't even in the treehouse. He's actually with Christy.
No, he got kicked. John, he got kicked out of his house years ago. He's back at Christy's house again, right? So Christy's got to put up with him all over again.
this is a disaster. So, no, what happens when Chrissy gets sick of him this time? Where does he go next? He's coming to live with you and Sarah.
Oh, no, fuck. Can't you see what's happening? I didn't see. Yeah. I didn't see it from the trees.
Put him in the moldy bedroom.
I didn't realize I was going to be up. I was going to be up for to be the next host of Rollo.
Yeah,
he's not going to stay with Rick. Rick won't have him. So that you're the next cab off the rank.
Listen carefully, Dolly.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll be out here soon.
No, you won't. I feel bad for Christy's poor heart who keeps taking you in over and over again because she's your life partner. She feels bad. So she says, well, I can't turf him out on the street. Yep. I've got to let him come live with me. But you're doing the same things you did 3 years ago with her.
You're like back on the balcony, talking shit, drinking,
and then she's got to like take you in again a second time.
The house will be sold for $1.2, $1.3 million.
How much of that are you giving to her?
All of it.
Oh, well, there you go. That's fair. she gets a nice payoff. Yeah.
Why? Why? So she feels guilty enough to keep you under her house, under her roof now.
Is that the plan?
I gave you the $1.3, Christy.
I'm just saying, John, when I visited Christy about a year ago, she had got out from Rollo's spell and she had a nice house to herself and a car. And it was way cleaner than the way Rollo lives. And she seemed pretty happy.
She was
happy.
Probably enjoying her life. She had enjoyed her life, right?
And now because of Rollo's government check-ins and police shit and disputes with his neighbours, he's back under her roof again, right?
Well, I have to, for the next 30 months, I have to... You have to
attend the police station and check in.
30 months, 30 days.
Yeah,
30 months. No, he's 6 months into a 30-month parolee check in at the police station.
So it's like another. It's like another 2 years to go. Where he has to check in.
I know, once a fortnight. Once a fortnight.
Did they put a little GPS tracker on your ankle?
Yeah. Oh well, no, not really.
But, they ought to have.
Why? I'm innocent.
I heard through the grapevine. Listen, I've got contacts with Michael Atham's wife, all right? And they tell me that you called that poor hotline 100 times. 100 times abusing the poor staff, getting paid $20 an hour.
So what?
That's what I heard.
So what?
They're getting paid $20 an hour to sit there in a freaking office with a bunch of degenerates taking calls from people like you.
Okay.
And you're calling them to abuse them?
So what? No, I didn't abuse.
By the way, for foreign listeners, $20 an hour sounds like a lot, but in Australia, that's not very much. You're getting paid to sit there in front of a computer.
Did you take the jab?
Listen to this guy.
did you take the jab? Look, John LeBron.
That's not the point we're talking about, Roller.
I didn't take the injection. No, I didn't. But I'll tell you what I also didn't do. I didn't go around telling people, ooh, there's going to be a mass die-off because of the injections. If anyone who gets this is part of the enemy, you're on the wrong side, blah, blah. I never did that.
All right.
And lots of people did, including my Uncle Ab. Now, he denies it, and so does Frank the Salt Guy. They both deny it now. We never said there'd be a mass die-off. Bull F shit, my friends. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back through the records, back through the archives, and I'm going to find the evidence that these guys were spreading the fear, along with their friend Tiago from Sydney, Nova Scotia.
JLB, you know how you said... When I was criticizing Ab, and I said the clip you had from the that song you made, what was the most recent one with the headlights?
Oh, one headlight. Yeah,
the one headlight.
Can I hear it?
That was the one I used on Shifty Headlights.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But you said how I said. Yeah, it's tail lights. Sorry, not headlights. Yeah, tail. I think the song was "One Headlight" by whoever.
The Wildflowers.
God, this guy knows his songs.
Do you have a copy of that? I'm going to send you a copy.
I have a copy. I've already got it, John. You don't need to send it to me. Yeah. But the point I was making about where is it? Wait, let me pull it up. I have the song here. I'll be able to play the song.
I was quite proud of that one because the upload that I did. Was called Shifty Tail Lights because Rick was talking about how have you noticed the cars, their headlights look shifty. They're very sinister looking. And Ab was like, yes, they're very sinister looking. And so I uploaded that to my Podbean, and that episode of Fakeologist Audio Chat has like 300 listens, which doesn't sound like a lot, but in this corner of the internet, that's a lot. That's multiples more than Abby's getting from Fakeologist downloads. That's just a fact. Someone got awesome listens, and I made this song with the Wallflowers, who, by the way, you know that guy, the lead singer of the Wallflowers, is the son of Bob Dylan. Did you guys know that?
No, I
that's
didn't.
Bob Dylan's son.
What's the biggest listen you ever got?
Check that one.
John LeBron.
Well, I uploaded a YouTube video a few years ago where I was taking the piss out of the Ariana Grande Manchester bombings, because Ariana Grande was doing a performance at some theater in Manchester, and there was some guy who bombed. So anyway, I made this 2-minute video where I took a fake video of a bombing and I pretended it was real, and that I was angry at the conspiracy theorists, and I was like, to all of you conspiracy theorists who say that this event was fake, I've got evidence. And you better take a damn hard look at yourself. And then I showed footage of an actual fake bombing, like a terror drill.
That's right. And then I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. And that one got 700,000 views before the view count was throttled. Oh, yeah. I was so happy, man. That was those 3 days.
That was your pièce de résistance.
Oh, man. I don't know if you guys can imagine what this is like, but if you're just a nobody who just uploads videos and then money videos goes viral, it's a great show.
The point I wanted to get to was that in that song you play a clip of me where I said, I did it with Wild Times, I did it with Uncle Odd, and I'll do it with you too. And you later in a podcast, you said, why didn't he mention Tiago? And I thought, shit, God, that would be the best quote of all. I did it with Wild Times, I did it with Tiago, and I'll do it with you too. I missed one of the biggest personalities I've exposed in this scene saying that stuff. And you were totally right. I missed the mark. I stuck to a few things that were in my head at that moment.
You
didn't miss the mark.
You were correcting what you said.
I know.
You forget some of them along the
way.
But I forgot.
I know. I've done this more times than I wish to admit. And I think, oh shit, I actually am leaving in my own diatribes. I'm leaving out people that I actually exposed, and I fucking that rubs me the wrong way, because I'm like, damn, I've shot people to the ground on the things that I know. And
what were you listening to where I said that you forgot to mention Tiago, though? Which podcast of mine is that from?
It was a couple of days after.
Was that one of my podcasts?
It might have been Fakeology. It was just a couple of days after that event. So I know you focused a lot on the Wild Times. You did your own podcast on the Wild Times expose, but I forgot.
That was a year earlier,
there was the whole expose on Tiago, and in the heat of the moment when I was expressing that passion to Ab and saying things, I forgot.
Well, you had
the Tiago, the Tiago thing wasn't mentioned. I was like, that would have been the best quote to list. It just adds more weight to my argument to add A, B, C, D, E, all the different things I've pointed out over the years that have come true. Anyway,
you're by the way, some of your listeners, especially if I direct my audience to this, which I will, I'll direct them to this, they'll have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
Yeah,
but
there
was a guy called Tiago from Nova Scotia, Canada, and he was this, he was relatively young. He was a good-looking dude. I was like 40 years old. He was a relatively good-looking dude, I'll say. Healthy. And he used to go on camera with his shirt unbuttoned to impress all the ladies. And he was running this Died Suddenly Facebook group. And he had his profile picture. You know those military cemeteries where they just put crosses there to just signify people who were supposedly dead? Like, they didn't have people. So he had this profile photo with hundreds of these like cemetery crosses to imply that people were dying suddenly from the vaccine, which, by the way, maybe some people did die from the injection, but his shtick was lots of people are dying. And Ab, my uncle Ab, God love him, God bless him, Ab also believed in this died suddenly thing. This is a couple of years ago. Mm. And so they were doing this weekly show with Marcus Allen, who was a completely that's another story right there. And then Frank the Salt Guy, don't even get me started. So the four of them were doing a weekly show.
Who was that Canadian that died?
Just let John talk, Rollo. Let John talk.
No, I didn't finish the story. Rollo's talking
he's
about
building,
Jeffrey C.
He's building to a narrative and then you fuck it up.
No, my bad.
No, he's not fucking. You're talking about Jeffrey C. You know, there's only two people who've really come after me, like tried to dox me.
I can't believe
whatever.
He died. So
there's only two people who've come after me in the 10 years I've been doing this. One of them's Jeffrey C. And one of them is a guy whose name I won't say because it's not. The point is, both of those guys who've come after me,
okay,
tried to dox me, tried to get my family involved. Both of these motherfuckers, 6 feet under. 6 feet under. Mm. So goes the story. They could be fake deaths. They could be. I hope they're fake deaths. I hope both of these guys are living in Tel Aviv and they're enjoying their lives. I hope they're not really dead. But according to, even though they came after me, I wish nothing against anybody. But
no,
according to the official story, they're both 6 feet under. Don't start your nonsense here, Rollo. You know one day, Rollo, we're going to meet in real life.
Well, yeah.
You know that.
You know that one day we're going to meet in the ring.
Actually, Rollo, I was thinking of you the other day, Rollo. I remember a few years ago you said to me how much you love baseball.
You're
a big baseball fan. You even used to play baseball, right? I've been watching the postseason for the MLB, and I have fallen in love with baseball in the space of like a couple of months. It's a beautiful sport, man. It is. I was up last night until 6 o'clock in the morning watching game two. And yeah, man, baseball. Yeah. It's a great sport. Yeah, I agree with you now.
Yeah, so we again.
My point was just to say I wish I had have remembered the Thiago thing in the moment I was making that statement. It would have been a way better grab.
I've got a solution, Vel. You can just get drunk and go back to fake college and then just do it all over again.
Do it 6 months later. No.
I suppose it's just Thiago.
No, yeah. It just bugs me that there's big monumental achievements one by one and you leave one out of your own resume and you go, holy shit, I totally missed the other thing I fucking exposed.
There's a man here who thinks he can help you.
Batman?
No, he's a scientist.
Batman's a scientist.
It's not Batman.
Verilicious and D-Train are the first fakeologist couple. We're the first JLB couple.
In fact, johnlebon.com. I highly recommend the website.
If I have a baby, I'm going to call it JLB.
John LeBon, I would be on your server. I would be everything. I love your stuff.
I love it. We're all in love. Every place I go, it's a love fest.
When we invest in clean energy and electric vehicles and reduce population, more of our children can breathe clean air and drink clean water.
You should be ashamed, and I won't forget the horrible thing you just told me.
There is wines at bargain. The wine she buys from Aldi is like $3.
Your fridge is actually informing the government on what you're eating.
That's right.
The electricity coming from Truthmeets.com
is immersed in user-generated fan fiction. It's delusional. It's insane.
It's over. I'm not calling back.
Yeah. Fine. So what?
The world needs laughter.
Well, I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. I've got a great sense of humor.
Yeah.
Hey, if anybody's going to beat my sister, it's going to be me.
No.
Could this town be any stupider?
JJ's gone too far when he calls me a homosexual.
Thanks for that introduction into the commercial for the Bongversations on TruthMeets.com.
Give me a break. Okay.
I need you to walk into that closet naked. For 3 days.
He's nuts.
Go into that closet 3 days naked. You can do that too.
Is it a cult?
Are you seriously asking that question?
That is a very frisky group, I have to say.
Anti-vaxxers are a cult at this point.
There's the childish nicknames. The crazy conspiracy theories.
This is inside baseball for the server, so you know.
John LeBon called it a dirty.
No matter what your age.
You're listening to Conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On TruthMeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, back to the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
You're right, I'm a man of my fucking word. You heard me the fuck right, John LeBon. You fuck.
I don't like anybody that doesn't like me, I'll be honest. When they don't like me, I don't like them, okay? Sounds childish.
Listen, I've spent 8 years trying to destroy you online because I can't stand you, okay? I'm being honest here. I just think you're the shiftiest cunt on the internet.
This is a good call. Way better than TruthMeets.com, I'll just say that now.
This is a good audio right here. Getting a lot of information.
I think it's low-hanging fruit, truth or bait, Alex Jones-level conspiracy claptrap, and I don't have time for it.
We can't get driven down crazy conspiracy rabbit hole.
If anybody's responsible for vax deaths, it's probably you. Anti-vaxxers are the true culprit here.
That's true.
But you can't really explain that to a normie. Their eyes glaze over. If I didn't look over to the right, I wouldn't be here with you tonight, and that would be very terrible.
It's hoax after hoax after hoax.
Rick is just an appendage.
So he owes you money.
But he's a good man. Critical thinker, like me. But he thinks that we are in a cult and he didn't want to be a part of it. He's not here anymore.
I'm deeply suspicious of fakeology, I'll be honest. You know, I'm deeply suspicious.
Do you know what Section 10 is? I sort of think about that with my own family.
They came from mental institutions and insane asylums.
I don't mix it up with the public much. My job doesn't allow for it.
Ab, you remind me a lot of my mom, I swear. You do so many things, I'm like, that's like my mom. That's a good thing. I love my mom. She's my best friend.
I admit, I'm cheap.
That's a fair assessment, I think.
Now that's the old farce value we all like. Okay, I got it.
I just want to let everyone know how much I appreciate the value that Velo brings to the channel.
Hello, I know radio. I'm making a new thing.
I know you're... Yeah, I know. You're a genius.
I see what I see, and I'm sick of having to point this out to people.
This is the bit.
Wild times, and I'll do it with Uncle Odd, and I'll do it with everyone. I know what I see, and I'm sick of putting up with everyone snowing over and making bullshit excuses.
But again, truthmeets.com for all your chemtrail podcasting needs.
There's love. I'm telling you, folks, there's love in the room. We're going to turn this around. We're going to get this country going again. There's love in the room.
They're making the taillights look more evil or more shifty.
Oh, what are you talking about now?
You've got shifty-looking headlights, sir. Sorry, shifty-looking taillights. I'm going to.
Some of their taillights are really... They're sort of sinister-looking.
I thought Kamala was pretty cute back when she was 29 years old.
Who's Al?
He started Faker Rejects. I was on for like a year, and they didn't even know.
Do you think you want to hire a lawyer to defend yourself?
Oh, no, never.
You should be ashamed, and I won't forget the horrible thing you just told me.
Can you come back with this little handwritten note from the Bills of Exchange Act from some guy with a website called IDon'tGiveAFuck.com? Do you think that's good enough?
That does sound absurd.
Get to the money.
Get to the money.
Get to the money.
Excellent, Mick.
I do listen to the conversations and enjoy them.
John, thank you. Great job, John.
You included so much stuff in that. That was fantastic.
That was great.
Thank you, guys. You'd be amazed how long it takes to put those together. Like, that takes...
Anyone knows it's me, that's fucking excellent work.
And that's all possible because of fakeologist.com, where for all of the flaws and the characters and whatever... It's good stuff, man, and you can take good clips and it's a... I don't want to use the word community. Like, community is probably too strong a word, but there's this group of people who I'm glad are there. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. If anything ever happened to fakeologist.com, I would be very upset. Like, you know how people get really upset when their dog dies or their pet cat dies? That's how I would feel if fakeologist went off the air. I'd be like... I'd be beside myself. So for all of the bad things that I said about fakeologist.com, I'm glad it's there, man. Fake all just makes that clip possible. Because it is easy to become too negative about people. You know what I'm trying to say? And you know, Uncle Abby's done good work, man. I'm grateful for the guy. You know.
Oh, there's a lot of great content. Yeah.
But there's... you can't explain that to the normies. Their eyes just glaze over.
Glaze over. Yeah. I caught that. What did you call me one time? You said I was unclippable.
Well, yeah, I've listened. I've probably chatted with you for probably like 20, 30, 40 hours, man. And in that time, I've got one clip of you. One. So,
It's probably because I don't drink when I'm on my audios.
Yeah, you're...
Wait, so you're actually not shocked is Jeff, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Correct. Jeff in Georgia.
And you woke up around COVID.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Yeah. I was checking about my facts.
Basically right after the...
You sound a lot like a lot of people on Fakeologist, so I find it hard to differentiate many people. John's got a more astute sort of like like a sense of people. I'm just doing my thing and I forget who's who. So like people come back to me and like, oh, let me into the server, do this, do that. And I'm like, I don't remember many people. So everyone sounds alike to me, if I can put it that way. So
yeah,
it's good to remember. Well, like, I know you've been here a couple of times. I've heard you on Fakeologist, but the voices to me kind of like blur together. So it's good to know. Not shocked is Jeff. Yeah. And he's a good guy. Good to remember. Thanks.
Yeah, I started listening to Fakeologist right as you were, right as you were moving. But I got to hear all that stuff, everybody, all the the infighting and all that that was going on while you were moving to Australia.
Oh, okay. Right. So around not long after I moved back was my big blow up with Wild Times and pointing out some things.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So I had no idea what was going on.
Right.
I was like, what in the world did I get into?
Yeah, I bet. I can understand how that might seem at the time.
Yeah.
No worry. That's good. That's good to put it in perspective, though, of where people come from, because.
Bella, would you like to play that thing I just sent you? It's Ping Trip. They took the piss out of.
You see how long you? Is this? Are you going, how long can you try?
It goes about 10 minutes.
10 minutes?
Yeah. It's long, isn't it? Let me have a look quick.
I'll play it, and then as soon as I become disinterested, I'm going to stop it. Okay, so we'll see how long.
Okay, play it, and then
I'll do you a favor, but don't keep sending things to me saying to play them.
Is there setup for the audio?
What? Trust me. Actually, good point, Nontrock. Rollo has to set it up. Yeah. Tell us what we're going to hear, Rollo. Tell us why it's important.
So basically. So there was a three-hour conversation with a guy called his name's Donald Trump. He's like he's hoping to become the president of the United States of America.
We understand that bit.
And there's a guy called Joe Rogan who's interviewing him. Anyway, so Ping Trip, what they do is they take 3 hours and they put everything out of context. So here you go.
Okay. All right. Okay. Good setup.
Let's see how. Yeah, fair enough. Let's see how we go.
We'll see if it's worth it.
You'll love it.
Well, the time has finally come. Donald Trump was just interviewed by Joe Rogan for 3 freaking hours.
Yeah, did you just assume because people loved you on The Apprentice, they were going to love you as a president?
Well, I think it would be so easy.
You said a lot of wild shit.
Can you imagine Kamala doing this show? I hope she does because it would be a mess. She'd be laying on the floor comatose.
The first thing I noticed, he looks comfortable. He looks confident. I thought there would be some awkwardness at the beginning, but very little, if any at all.
You know what? Without speaking to you, I think I know you maybe almost as well as your wife. They're stupid people, but they're vicious people. He's a stupid son of a bitch. I'm getting myself in trouble with some of these things, but I don't really care.
You haven't even got to the election. There's been 2 assassination attempts. The rebels are Republicans now.
I could have put Crooked Hillary in jail.
There's an app that you can get, rather, that will show you where the human feces has been documented in San Francisco. It's a poo app.
There's no reason not to think that Mars and all these planets don't have life, you know, because...
Mars, we've had probes there and rovers.
So Joe opens up with a talking point we've heard him talk about before, about how the show The View used to talk so lovingly about him. I mean, they were in love with him.
The episode of you when you're on The View, you got introduced as our friend Donald Trump.
Please welcome my friend Donald Trump. Whenever you're on with us, we're very happy.
Whoopi Goldberg gives you a big hug and a kiss. Joy Behar gives you a big hug. Barbara Walters gives you a big hug. They all loved you.
Whoopi loved me.
Gives you a hug and a kiss.
It was a different life because you're right. The View. I was on The View many, many times, and they loved me. I was very popular.
Barbara, you know what? Look,
it's real.
It's really mine. You know,
together over the years.
She is very sexy, I want to tell you.
He knows how to get to me. Listen, Donald, so far, there's nothing you haven't been successful at. You're a great character. You're a great friend of ours. We don't know whether you should be president, but we do know that you will enjoy watching.
But you do admit I'd be a great president.
Some of these women, they're so stupid. And Joy, she would, every time she'd see me, I'd be in the theater or something. And she says, you have to be on the show again. Come on, let's go.
She loved you.
To love me.
There's probably no one in history that I've ever seen that's been attacked the way you've been attacked and the way they've done it, so coordinated and systematically. When you see those same people in the past, very favorable to you, like Oprah, when you were on Oprah show, she was encouraging you.
If I were a Democrat,
you'd get a lot of positive press.
I would get a lot of positive press.
Yeah. No, it's a creepy, corrupt business.
Then Joe asks another question that's been on his mind for a while, which is, what is it really like when you step into the office of president?
What was it like when you actually got in? Because nobody really can prepare you for that. When you're running for president, you don't really know what it's going to be like when you actually get into office.
Well, first of all, it was very surreal.
I would imagine.
It's very interesting. When I got shot, it wasn't surreal.
Trump begins to answer, but then he does his first weave of the day.
You know what the weave is? I'll talk about like 9 different things and they all come back brilliantly together. What you do is you get off a subject to mention another little tidbit, then you get back onto the subject and you go through this and you do it for 2 hours and you don't even mispronounce one word.
You win.
Yeah.
You get inaugurated. Holy shit, I'm the president.
Yeah, that's what happened. So I'm driving down Pennsylvania Avenue. I just built a building on Pennsylvania, you know, the hotel. And we sold it to the Waldorf Astoria.
Everyone's aware of all this stuff. But what I want to get to is, like, what was the experience once you got inside?
And I said to the guys, I want to see the Lincoln bedroom. I had never seen the Lincoln bedroom. I'd heard about the Lincoln bedroom.
What did you think it was going to be like? Versus, like, did you have any ideas?
Rolla, come on.
I had two things
I'm not really focused on governing
the country and
survival. Did you actually watch that for 3 hours?
So here this I am standing there and...
This is a producer editing between times. The timeline is so rearranged. It's not funny.
It was day one, like,
it's incorrect. It's been correct. You know what they do?
It was amazing.
What they do? You suggested this.
6'6". That's your kind of
your
person.
Weave is getting absolutely wide. We're getting wide with
my
this
weave is very, very important. Very few weavers around. You got to weave it out.
The man loves to weave. Some of his weaves are cool, like when he talked about the history around.
He's being very fair, I think.
I think we got the gist.
It's a YouTuber who rearranges the clips in a certain order to tell a narrative.
So he took 3 hours of Joe Rogan talking to obviously Donald.
And where did that get you to?
I just thought it's hilarious because when I speak to John Laws, right? There's a guy called John Laws in Australia. 1-300-564-652. He won't speak to me anymore. But anyway, you play me and John Laws. What's the best one that I ever did? I can't remember which
people from the other night.
Not the moon.
Yeah, the one you played this morning was pretty good.
That was Rick. That was Rick and Lawsy. It was you.
I reckon that was one of the best days of your life, Rollo. You're a 50-something year old. In your top 10 moments in your life is the day that you and Belichick called in St. Lawsy's. I really believe that.
Oh, Let's play it.
Why are you doing that?
You know how some people, they're old athletes, and they're like, back in my day, mate, I was doing this. And then some people are like old musicians. Back in my day, mate, we had a band, and we did a couple of shows in Manchester or whatever.
Yeah.
Your story is, it's not sports, it's not music, it's... The day you called into Wallsy.
It's me and Velo. So me first and then Velo. Because we did. Yeah, it's classic. All right, let's do it. Me and
who
Velo.
Who said we were going to do it?
Remember when he goes, Joel or Rollo. Rollo.
Goodbye, Joel.
So,
and I've always said, I've said it before and I'll say it again, my only issue with all of that, my only criticism of that, because it was very funny, it was one of the best episodes, it was easily the best episode of the five podcast.
Mm.
But my only issue with that was when Velocet called in and he said, how was your break? And then Lawsy says, I wasn't on a break. I was in a hospital. And then Villa said, like, he was playing dumb. He's like, oh, he's like, yeah. And he's like, the St. Vincent Hospital, they took very good care of me. And I said, if that was meant to be a double entendre, or like a how was your break? Yeah. Is it your broken back? I thought that was poor form because the old dude's 80 years old.
I never meant it to come across that way.
Here we go.
Roland keeps saying, here we go, like Bellis is going to, like, light up for you.
I can play it if you want.
Do you have any idea, Roland, how lucky you and
let's
Rich
just play.
Were
let's just play up until the bit show. Where I say, how's your break? We'll just go to that. I'm not interested in doing the whole thing because we've lived it 1,000 times on this show. But we can just hear the how's your break bit because that's relevant, okay?
How's your break?
Tell me what's on your mind. 1-300-564-652. Joel, are you there?
Yeah, good morning, John.
Good morning, Joel.
How are you going? It's good to have you back.
Thank you.
How was your break?
I beg your pardon?
How was your break?
It wasn't a break. I was crook. I was in hospital.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, don't be sorry. It's okay. I was in the wonderful St. Vincent's Hospital and they took very, very good care of me. But I suppose I did have a break in my back.
Oh, yeah, that's not good.
Literally, no, it's not good at all. And,
well, as long as they took good care of you.
They certainly did that. St. Vincent's wonderful, wonderful hospital, thank God.
There you go.
That's so sweet. Yeah, and what was the so there's a context there. So you rang in. But it was me.
He rang in after you, Roland, because you're the one who rang in. And then he called in and he said, this guy saying that, and then... Then he flipped the script and he's like...
Yeah, that's...
No, I don't think anyone died or got hurt. And if you say that anybody did die or get hurt, then you are a spiritual murderer. And then, Lawsy didn't know what it... Lawsy had no idea what had hit him and he's like... I beg your pardon. He's like, and then Bill said, repeating himself. He's like, no one died or got hurt. And if you say that anyone did die or get hurt, then you're a spiritual murderer. And he's like, hold on a second.
What?
Hey, Rollo, what are the best days? Like, I'm not, without getting too personal, what are your other highlights in life? What are the highlights that you've got?
No.
The day you got married?
Are you?
What else? What else you got?
When it comes to fame,
the day that you met Gaia.
Listen.
Gaia was top 10 moments.
Lost his camera. Not
Columbia and met up with Gaia and stole your camera. That's probably top 10, I would say, as well. What else have you got?
Even after the loss of a camera, still good to meet up with someone from Fakeologist, I would say.
What happened to that guy, by the way? Has anyone heard from Gaia? Is the guy still alive?
When I met, can you still hear me? Or have I been?
Just talk. Stop.
No.
Yeah. When I put my arm around John Laws and I shook him by the hand.
If that's what it was going to be,
you've been talking about this a lot lately. Oh, his wife gave you a kiss on the lips.
And you felt her up on the bum, and then you raped her. You did it 10 other things.
Her name's Caroline. Yeah, she passed away quite a few years ago. Yeah. Rick and Rolly.
No matter what your age, you're listening to Conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now back to the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
Hey, I want you guys' opinions because, I trust you guys. Linda from, I don't even know what state you're from, Linda, and then Noshot from Georgia. Of course, Rollo and Velocet from Australia.
Linda's so from Ohio. Guest lined up.
Ohio, okay, sweet. So I've got this very special guest lined up. I can't say who it is, but he's somebody you guys know about through the Fakeologist community. He's come to join me for a conversation in November, and I'm looking forward to it very much. And so one by one, I want to go
Simon
through the big names of Fakeologist. Dude, I would talk to Simon Shack. I would. Me and him have our issues from the past.
Simon Shack from.
I'm sorry. I'm just joking. Who is it? John?
September Blues. September. Yeah, keep going.
Good. Like, I know that there is some, I know there's some history there with me and Simon, because him and his forum turned against JLB and said that I was sent by the government to infiltrate. Okay. All this kind of nonsense. So we've got some history there, but I would talk to Simon Shake. Why not? It'd be fun for me, and I think it'd be a good chat. No, it's not him, but somebody else.
I'll listen
and
to
I
it.
Thought, I thought to myself, should I get Rollo on for a conversation? And I think about this sometimes. I'm like, well, here's the pros and here's the cons. Now, the pros speak for themselves. I mean, this guy's been here for a long time and we've had some good memories, and he's a character of Fakeologist. So the pros are all, and when he's not too drunk, he's a pretty fun guy to talk with. So there's the pros. There's the pros. Yeah. On the not cons bad. Side is, if I set cocaine. Aside a day to talk to some guy and he either doesn't turn up because he's passed out, or he does turn up but he's drunk as shit.
Coke, for fuck's sake.
You know, that's the issue. So,
oh man, I've done too much coke tonight. Too much coke.
I don't know how strong your imaginations are, but my imagination is very strong. So I think through different possibilities, and I've thought through this. What if Rolly turned up at the agreed time?
I'm not talking good sober. I've had a bottle of bloody whiskey tonight.
Listen to Joel. What he's doing now? Can you hear what he's doing in the background?
I'm making fun of you, you asshole.
I don't mind.
John LeBond should be fairly warned. John LeBond should be fairly warned about the implications of inviting you to a show.
John, hold on, I'll be back in 2 minutes. I'm going to grab a clip. That was a good one. I'll be back.
That's good. That's
good. His clipping's always a priority.
I know.
I'm curious to see who his guest is that he was concerned that you should be on the show.
Okay, I don't like, know.
If you knew how to take turns, it might work. But I don't know. You gotta worry. Having you on as a guest, you need to learn. You need to learn to take turns. Take it calm. Know the flow of the show. Know how to make it work. Mm. You're always good on Fart Podcast. There's always like a time to talk, a time to sit quiet, a time to like inject. You got to recapture that certain je ne sais quoi you had in the older days when to talk and when not to talk.
I think my because my body is always it's starting to fail.
Your body is starting to fail.
My body's starting to fail. Yeah. Mm. So I'm it's not one of these things that it's like my spirit is still there. You know, like John Laws, you know, why he's giving up the John Laws 1-300-564-652 is his spirit is still good to go, but his body is not. His body is, and his voice is still not the way it used to be. I used to love the shotgun. Can you do that for me? Actually, this is a little bit of fun. Can you do this for me, Joel?
What do you want?
Because you used to work on a Kyle and Jack era, right? So you're pretty good on when are you on? Have you got a shotgun? A sound effect.
I'm making fun of you, you asshole.
Okay. So that's it. Okay, 1-300-4652. Get a Dale.
I'm making fun of you, you asshole.
Okay, John LeBron, g'day. Are you there, Dale?
What's up? What's up? What's going on? Who's this?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous,
give
man.
Give him the shotgun. Thanks.
Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, yeah, so I got distracted there. So I would love to have at least one conversation with this guy. He's a big character at fakeologist.com. He goes by name Rolly. But I've thought through this, right? I've really thought through this. What if he turns up and he's inebriated? Would I be
Wait, are you saying the big guest or fakeologist was Rollo all along?
No, it's a different guy who definitely is not inebriated.
Oh,
he's a different
another guy, but you want to invite Rollo.
No, what I'm saying is I'm slowly interviewing people who've been on fakeologist.com.
Right.
And so I've got one lined up for November. And I thought, should I also invite Rollo, which I would love to, because he's been...
But who's the guy for November? I can't
tell you who it is until it happens, man. I have to keep my cards close.
I'm having to rub my whistle, like my... Who would that be, I wonder?
Shotgun.
Anyway, I don't think you guys are listening to my story. I'm just saying I would love
to... No, I am. I'm really curious about who this person is. That's all. I just get distracted.
Well, the person is not Rollo. But what I'm trying to say is I'm thinking of inviting Rollo, but what if... Because I've thought through this. What if you said to me, hey, John, is it okay if I have a bit to drink before? I'm like, yeah, have a bit to drink. Like, we're going to have a good 2-hour chat. It's going to be great. If you need a couple of drinks to loosen up, that's fine. But if you're drinking the spirits, you can't limit yourself. And we need you at a good stage. You can't be 1.5 bottles of vodka in because my audience expects a higher quality of conversation. Yeah. And, you know, so can we trust Rollo to be there? Either sober or just a few drinks.
And then at some point, you know what you want to do?
Well, I've said to myself, I'm like, I want to get Rollo on the show before, you know, nature takes its course. And, I mean, you can't live like this.
I think the sound effect was...
You've only got so much time left.
No, I think the sound effect was rubbish. We got to do take two on that.
Well, Beachy's listening live. Hello, Beachy. Beachy says JLB will do a whole show with clips. No need to have Rollo do it all.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm almost at the point. I'm always at the point where I could do 2 hours with either Ab or with DJ.
She wants to sit on my face and wriggle. And she's married. She's
take
married
it
woman.
Easy. Just stay quiet for a few seconds.
Okay. Can you do that?
I just want to hear what John Le Bon has
way
to say.
Better. Joel LeBron, you got something better to say?
Capturing that clip.
I think he's trying.
Did he go to capture that clip? I thought he was about to make his point.
Oh no, he has to capture that clip. I mean, did you hear what Rollo said? So.
Yeah, we know he's capturing that clip. I wish LB had the soundboard earlier and got the clip from Ab, what he said earlier.
Yeah, I'm blessed.
About Rick licking, what was it? I forgot how he said it.
I've worked in.
He's talking about the bong conversation.
Yeah, I worked
Rick was
in
licking Dave J's balls.
1987, I worked in Talkback. Yeah. So, trust me, I understand it. I know how it worked. I'm not an expert, but I know how it works. How about that? Rick and Rollo. Yeah, I swear. I appreciate everyone who's talked to me. It's like John Laws. John Q. Laws, he's about to give it away all the way. And I love that guy. Richard John Laws, I swear to God, I love that guy. You think I don't like him? I want to sit
on my face and wriggle.
That's me.
We knew that was coming. I'm with you, Velocette. Who's the guest? The mystery guest. The next bomb.
It's me.
Well, it's lined up for 2 weeks from now because I said to him we can't do a show between now and November 5. I'm flat out with this Trump stuff. But after that, and we organised a date for middle of November. So we've got a very special guest. Any long term fakeologist will be familiar with the person.
Who is it, John?
Long term. There was a hint. Any long term.
Mm-hmm. He's been there since pre-corona. Because there's a lot of post-corona people, but this guy's pre-corona.
If it's me guessing, I would say it's
Well, I can't confirm or deny. I don't care who you guess. There's no confirmations or denials. But what you're going to find out is
it's someone special. It's got to be Jim Fetzer or
the fakeologist.
It's got to be some fake.
So what you're trying to decide is whether you should bring Rollo in.
That's the issue,
It's whether you include Rollo or not. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Okay. So this guy will be solo. Okay.
Yes.
Unless you decide Rollo should be part of it.
Well, think about it. I've done conversations with Uncle Marcus. I've done conversations with Uncle Ab, with Uncle Dave J. I've done conversations with a bunch of people who are not fakeologist related. I've also got guests who are on fakeologists, but then I thought they were cool, and then I got on the show. So now I'm thinking.
She had big balls.
I want to speak to this particular person. And once I've spoken with him, who's the next fakeologist to speak with? Now, I would love to have Velocet and or Sarah on the show for sure. They've got their own platform. This particular fellow, he's been a fakeologist-related character for some years now. And so he won't be coming to the show with his own website to promote or whatever. But I just want to talk to him because he's a very interesting character.
He doesn't have any of his own content.
Rollo. Simon, now, I would talk with Rollo if I could trust he would either turn up sober or only half a bottle of whiskey or whatever. What do you drink, vodka?
Okay.
Only half a bottle of vodka. Okay. But what I'm concerned about is what if he turns up and he's had a bottle and a half and it just won't be good radio, if I can say that honestly, you know? So,
aside from that, if I woke up one day.
You have to have two sets of questions. One for before his blood alcohol content hits a certain level, and then the other questions are afterwards.
Guys, we have to take feedback on board. Beachy, who is a long-term listener here at truthmeets.com, says, this is not really scintillating, which they spelt wrong, by the way. That's not how you spell scintillating, Beachy. Look it up. But I know what you're trying to say. Mm-hmm. They're saying not really scintillating conversation, just saying. Well, why don't you recommend some topics? For me, Linda, Not Shocked, Rollo and Velocet, why don't you recommend some topics? We're all ears here.
I didn't realize we were on the air.
We better be on the air. I don't do this stuff off the record. If I'm off the record, I'm just quiet. I'm silent.
But aside from that, you'll be doing this interview with your fakeologist celebrity guest and maybe or maybe not inviting Rollo.
Yeah.
And then from that date in November.
There's no chance Rollo joins that particular date in November, then
you're going to start giving yourself to Truth Meets and appearing here. Is that what you're.
I'll be here once a week if I'm welcome, only if Velocity and
Dorsey. You're always welcome. I would like to have show output. But.
Well, I heard a rumor from my Uncle Ab that you said no soundboards. That's what Uncle Ab said.
He said that. Unfortunately, it's not true. I never said that. But you know, what can I do to dissuade people from believing these wild rumors?
So I'm not even remotely allowed close to this.
That's up to JLB. JLB's the one saying.
No, you're not. I do one-on-one interviews. Beachy says, by the way, they don't have time to spell check. Well, the funny thing is the way that you spell scintillating, by omitting the C, you've made scintillating kind of like a
portrait. Rollo might have a chance at being on a show if he could remain coherent for 5 minutes.
That's what I'm trying to say.
You might, Rollo, you could be a big celebrity star guest of a show dealing with people who were fakeologists for a long period of time. Is it worth it to you to remain coherent for a day to be part of that? It sounds like a good opportunity to me. I would just say you should do it, man.
We should organize our conversation for the day you go to court. That's what we should do because I think you'd be sober that day.
I wouldn't bet on it. Interview Dan Andrews. Is it Dan Andrews? Have you got Dan Andrews set up?
You guessed it. He got celebrity guest Dan Andrews.
Dan Andrews would never talk to me. If I could talk to Dan Andrews, I would, and I'd be a good host, man. I wouldn't just attack him. I wouldn't say, you're evil, you're this or that. I'd be like, so Dan, good to have you here, blah, blah, blah. And I would just slowly ask him, why did you do that?
It's obviously not Dan Andrews.
It's not Dan Andrews.
But don't get me wrong.
In the back channels, off the record, behind the scenes, my people are talking to Dan's people and we're working on that one, but that's still probably at least a few months away. But I've got someone organized for November who's a fakeologist. You would have heard of this guy's name.
Daryl Summers.
Is Daryl Summers still alive? Is he still with us?
I don't know. I'm just
posting.
Is Molly Meldrum still with us?
Yeah, Molly.
Didn't he fall off a ladder? Molly built one. Didn't he have some issue where he fell off a ladder or something?
Oh, years ago. Yeah.
I was just recently updated about that as well from, I think, Verilicious or someone posted it, that he's still alive I thought the guy died years ago, so there you go.
What about Neil Mitchell? Neil Mitchell.
Hold on. Who was the guy with Darren Hinch? Was Darren Hinch the one who got a liver transplant?
Darren Hinch, yeah. That's right. There you go.
Is Darren Hinch Melbourne? I think Darren Hinch is a Melbourne guy. He was on 3AW, Talkback Radio back in the day. He's a Melbourne
dude. Obviously, you're not going to talk to anyone down in Melbourne.
Dude, I heard that, what are their names? Kyle and Jackie O. I heard they bombed in Melbourne. I heard that things didn't work out for them. Melbournians didn't take to this Sydney side of nonsense.
I've been following John, if you want to let me comment on that. Only because I was in charge of their networking when I was working there. The biggest thing has been to emulate Howard Stern, like, networking a breakfast show, and ARN, Australian Radio Network, took the big leap of networking a breakfast show to Melbourne. And many people said over and over, it can't be done. You can't put a Sydney show in Melbourne. It won't work. Melbourne audience is too different. They did it. They broadcast the Colin Jackie O show to Melbourne. It has different commercial, like they do little tricks with the technology to inject the local commercials and things. And it's failing dismally. If you read, go to Radio Info or Radio Info. What's the other one?
When I come here and get insulted by a guy like you, it's like, do you know what I've done in radio?
There's a few blogs that deal with radio industry news, and the content director who's in charge of them had a whole article he wrote, and they published it, and then the comments were just inscrupulous. Like, Duncan's full of shit. He wouldn't know. What would he know? How he thinks this is going to work? I think it might work. Give it a few years. That's no small feat. You just got to like let it sit. Once people don't, if you just let it go for years and years on end, people will have no choice. It will become big. But in the immediate surveys, no, it completely failed in Melbourne, which is unfortunate because
Do you ever look back and think, man, if I had my time again, I would have tried to play the game more, be more, you know, go with the flow with the whole commercial, corporate.
If I knew the realistic perspective I have now, if I had have known that when I was in the industry, I probably would have been like a wunderkind fucking genius at radio. But the way it turned out, I just hate it. I don't want to play games. I don't like that whole thing. I think it's all business. It's just all who's one up on the other, who does the right strategy. It's so fake and bullshit. I think I would be good at it. Now that I have the skills I have, I think I would actually be an excellent programmer and a genius at how to actually make things work, multi-state, how to format shows, how to make all that stuff work. I just think it's really psychology 101. It's really simple. I believe I could be good at it, but
You'd be the Howard Stern, wouldn't you?
Kyle and Jackie O are trying to be the Howard Stern of Australia. They're trying to network their show across. It's never done.
Rig and roll. We'll let the break go. Rig and roll. Rig and roll.
Go into that.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to another conversation.
Or your preoccupation.
On truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, on with the conversation.
The art of conversation.
They basically are trying to emulate the idea that was done with Howard Stern, that you could network a break. See, Drive Time's always networked in the States. They take the same show and blast it over multiple locations.
I love Drive.
I love
in Australia, the whole concept has always been capital cities need to broadcast their own local shows. That's why Breakfast has always been Kyle and Jackie O on 106. Bridge and Limo on fucking Melbourne 106.3 or whatever it is. Yeah, they always try to do local things. This is the first time in Australia a network has tried to broadcast a network show and make talent that broadcasted from one location available everywhere. Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane will all get the same show. And from what they're seeing from
it can't work that way.
It can. I believe it can. I believe they're making bad decisions.
Okay.
I was reading Radio Info, and the content director who is still the same person I used to work for when I was there in 2016, it was this same guy who creeped me out a bit because he kind of came on to me, and that was really creepy, and I wanted to leave. It's the same guy who's saying this will work, this will work. Everyone in the blog, Radio Info, Radio News, all the different Jocks Journal, all the different radio blogs are saying the same thing. This guy just flip flops. He's saying it'll always work.
So in Sydney, would you prefer to be like the whole of Sydney? You'd be in charge of Sydney.
I don't understand your question. You're letting me get to my point.
I don't mind. What's your point?
The point I was trying to make is people think network radio can't be done in Australia. I believe it can. They just don't have the right show. They don't have the right networking localization ability. Things like that prevent them from achieving the success they want. I think I know the secret formula that makes that stuff work.
What are the guys like Martin Malloy and
Malloy's on Triple M. Drive has always been networked. It goes back 10 years ago to Jono and Dano. Network has always been Drive Time. Drive Time has always been networked, Rollo. You're not listening.
So what about John Laws?
You can network drive shows. That's talk. It's different. Talk has always been networked. Talk has worked networked ever since the dawn of time.
So
they're talking about FM breakfast shows do not work networked.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
The current state is that they're saying it doesn't work, and they've tried it. They've tried to network it to Melbourne, and they're saying Melburnians don't like Kyle and Jackie O. The show is the problem. They can't Kyle and Jackie O have an explicit sexual weird kind of vibe that Sydney people seem to like. They've networked it to Melbourne, it hasn't worked. You can't come back from that. You need to have a new show, try to network it fresh with a new show. You can't suddenly change and try to manipulate the show to work in Melbourne and Sydney at the same time. You need to have a show that is globally accepted, and then you network it to other places. That's all I would say.
How much would you have to get paid, Bill said? I know this is a tough question. Hold on, Rollo. Just give me a second here, man. Bill, in theory, if there was like secure money, like not just relying on Patreon or something, but like if there was secure money, how much would you have to make to be a full-time producer/talent for a week, like for a daily show? For like
200 a 3-hour 200.
200 grand? What the hell?
I recently was looking at a job for the ABC. Not that I planned to leave the trains. I was just doing it for an exercise to go through the process of applying and check my skills are in check for what I want to do. It's not a low price I would be willing to accept to do what it takes to actually make that job work.
What if it wasn't for the ABC? What if it was for a program or for a channel or for a mission that you believed in?
They don't pay for that kind of thing. That producer.
No, I'm asking hypothetically. It's a hypothetical question.
That's okay.
Production, anything that's on the psychological spectrum, just production roles and things like that, like that's $100,000 a year job. What are you asking me you want me to do? What would it take for me to do what? What is the job you want me to do? I'll tell you my price.
Well, I'm just talking in hypothetical, and this is just hypothetical. This is not like a realistic thing. I just mean like to think through how much do you value I'm trying to like explore how much you actually value the job itself.
I think I know what
you want me to be a panel operator.
Virginia Australia.
You want me to be a tight panel operator for Alan Jones? $120,000 a year.
No.
You want me to make the networking of Kyle and Jackie Yeo work? $200,000 a year.
Yeah.
You want me to, it depends on what the description of the job is. ABC, network engineering, probably about $250,000. Like, it depends. Like, I think I have the skills to make this stuff work, but I'm
500,000.
The market dictates what it's worth. And I know the shit I do here at home in my own studio with I spend my own money on equipment and things. And I know the psychology of radio and things I do. I just don't think I can ever work in the real commercial realm because people won't value what I know how to make work. I just don't believe it. That I can't get employed in I wouldn't want to anyway. I like the trains. Trains are simple. You go up and down, go to Sydney and back, easy. I don't know I know the way to make this stuff work for them, but the more I sit on the sidelines, ever since I've left radio, the more I listen to the shit they're doing, I go, they've just hired a bunch of millennials who have no fucking idea about how to make a good radio show. They don't just tune into Kyle and Jackie O one morning, John.
When I come here and get insulted by a guy like you, it's like, do you know what I've done in radio?
Yeah. Tune in to that show any morning. And tell me it's not as entertaining as what I do on Truth Meets or Fakeologist or anything. I know the formula to make good shows. And sadly, the weird thing is people like Kyle and Jackie specifically, the actual talent, they just care about a pay. This is a business for them. They don't give a fuck if the show is good or not. They just care about the money, right? They don't care if their show is actually good. They just show up and read a script. They don't give a fuck. But if the company wanted to make money, they need a good producer.
How much do you value that? If you had creative freedom, how much would you value it? Because I think about this stuff, right? Look at what I'm doing. And I'm a big fish in a very, very small pond. This Medifakery, it's a tiny pond. It's ridiculous. By the way, I muted Rollo. Now he's left. I muted him because you were trying to talk and he just wouldn't shut up.
That's fair.
And now he's left.
Yeah, it was annoying.
Yeah, I've got server mute roles. I don't know how the hell I've got the ability to do that. I went to mute him. And then
I gave you that permission because hosts should have the ability to control how their show sounds.
Well, I appreciate that. I didn't mean to get... I'll take him off server mute. Rollo, the reason I did that was because someone was trying to talk and you kept going, yeah, 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 bra, bra, bra.
Hey, John LeBron. It's okay. Look, again, I'll never get... I'll never be... worried because I've spoken to the best of the best, and it's John Laws. John Laws
and his wife kissed you on the lips. I've heard all about it.
Yes.
I listened to you and Rick crapping on for 3 hours, waiting for Bella to turn up. He turns up at the end. You and Rick going on and on and on about bands from the 60s and the 70s. That guy. He used to date this girl and I had to be busted up. And I'm like, what am I listening to this shit for?
Hey, John LeBron, trust me. Look.
Trust you.
I can't wait to meet you.
That's what I keep hearing for the last 10 years, Rollo. That's what I keep hearing.
Can you get back to the topic at hand?
Okay.
Well, yeah, so anyway, so what I do is I've got this little laptop and this little Blue Yeti microphone, and I've been doing this thing just trying to produce content, make articles, make podcasts. Hopefully people enjoy it. And live off this, and I've done it for 6 or 7 years, and I'm very grateful. It's kind of like an art form, you know, like writing and speaking and making.
And you've done it successfully.
Successfully enough to be alive.
You have a stable of people that are interested in what you do. You've made a success of yourself out of nothing. I remember
on a very small scale, yes.
You built johnlebon.com before you're about to go overseas. You said, you visited my house. You said, I'm going overseas now. It's a big venture for me. I can appreciate that there was a big step into the unknown and you made something of yourself.
Well, I didn't make something of myself, but I did at least achieve the dream, which was to travel the world and do it, you know, with this laptop and this microphone. And there are musicians, man, they travel the world. There are football players that travel the world. People who do stuff that people like, they can travel the world doing what they're doing. So I've done that. I'm very happy about that. But I look at the future and I think, man, what's next? Like, what's the next chapter? You know what I'm trying to say? I'm 37 years old, and is this enough? Like, or is there more to life? And then I read this thing from the Australian Bureau of Statistics, and it says that the average full-time income in Australia, not part-time and not temporary, just people with full-time contracts, 37.5 hours a week, 38 hours a week, whatever it is, $90,000 Australian. That is the average full-time contracted income in Australia. That's the average. But in other words, the mediocre people, like just the average person.
They're not setting the world on fire. These are just people that just show up, period.
Just show up to some regular job. Are getting $90,000 a year. That's before tax, obviously. Which means that anybody who's applied themselves or anybody who has some talent or some skill is on six figures. That's Australia today. And I think, man, what is the future? Like, I enjoy being able to just sit here and...
So John LeBond, you don't... Rollo,
you're interrupting.
No, I'm asking...
No, it's a fair question. Listen, the average person is getting paid very well in Australia. I know that people complain, oh, everything's expensive.
Do you know what? I'm not average, right? Do you know how much I'm worth? My net worth?
I don't know, and I honestly don't really want to know.
It's a lot. It's too personal. I'd rather not know. It's well over a million.
You gave all your money to Chrissy, which is probably a smart decision, because now she's stuck with you. Now she feels guilty.
But I'm not average.
I hope she lives in a two-bedroom apartment and you have your own bedroom. Yeah. She shouldn't have to put up with you walking there at 4 o'clock drunk as a skunk.
Again, you're into talkback radio. That's the beauty of you.
Well, I'll tell you a true story, man. My father was into talkback radio. He used to listen to Darren Hinch Ellen. And who was the other guy? No, in Melbourne. No, Hinch? Another guy.
Hinch. On 3AW. One of the shock jobs.
Yeah, 3AW, yeah. But what was the other guy's name? He's retired now.
Neil Mitchell.
Neil Mitchell, that's the dude, yeah. So anyway, when I was like 16, I used to have like a gym set at the side. I used to like go out and do weights and stuff. And sometimes I would listen as a 16-year-old to talkback radio because I thought I was like learning something. This is how retarded I was. I'm 15, 16, I'm out the back lifting weights and stuff, and I could have had music on. I could have had 105.1 Triple M. I could have had 100.3 Nova. No, you know what I had? I had freaking Liver AW and Neil Mitchell crapping on about some idiot who's been released from detention. Like, it's all shock jock shit. Because I was so young and so stupid, I thought I was learning something, listening to this crap.
You're not young. Older, you're ignorant, not stupid.
I was ignorant. I was totally ignorant.
Yeah.
And
keep going. Yeah, keep going.
Yeah. When I was 15, 16, I would listen to talkback radio with Darren Hinch, and then after that, Neil Mitchell.
Mm.
Neil Mitchell 3AW. And it's all just crap.
Oh, yeah. I loved it. I spoke to Neil Mitchell during COVID.
You spoke to Neil Mitchell?
Big time. Did you record it? I should have recorded it because he deleted me.
What did you say?
I said Dan Andrews, you're goddamn, piece of shit premier, like, in the midst of COVID-19. I went nuts. I went nuts. That's why the reason I'm sort of in prison right now.
In prison? You're not in prison. They won't bother putting you in prison. You'd be too expensive.
Prison, but
that's why they've put you on this have to report in every week thing. That's
Every
go and feed yourself and keep yourself.
That's true.
Just reporting to us so we know you're not.
So trust me. I'll tell you what, I trust my reports from
behind the scenes. I get cables from the right people. They tell me this guy called the place 100 times, belligerent, drunk, abusing these 20-year-old, 25-year-old boys and girls who were just working a temp job while they're trying to get through university, and he's accusing them of being part of the grand conspiracy to inoculate people. And these people are just trying to work their jobs. And this guy calls in drunk, and that's why you got done for what you got done for. You didn't call once, you didn't call 5 or 10 times. You called 100 times. That's what my cables are telling me, okay?
Yeah.
This is bad behavior, really.
And no, it's not bad behavior.
It's bad behavior.
Because Again, I put a goddamn a comment on fucking bloody Facebook or no, not Facebook. What was it on? I put a comment, and it was immediately removed. Where I said to Elon Musk, Elon, he's kind of friend to me. He's a friend to me. You know Elon Musk?
You and Elon are first name basis.
Kind of a friend to me.
Yeah.
My mate.
We get on well. Yeah. I'm not kidding. He's a really nice guy.
This is too funny, Rolo.
What? What's up? Take two?
I said this is funny.
Stop
you
it.
You and Elon.
Stop oh. it. Oh, no. Elon Musk, not a problem, you know. I treat everybody exactly the same way.
Nobody died or got seriously ill.
Stop. At the end of the day, look, I said, Elon, I said, why'd you kick me off? Because I wrote a thing.
Were you kicked off Twitter? Were you?
Is that what happened? I was kicked off Twitter for 12 hours.
What'd you do?
You're an idiot.
I wrote about, this, the Canadian, what is his name?
He wants to sit on my face and wriggle.
Everyone is having a lot of fun.
You
now.
Are kidding.
There's Lawsy, yeah. No, it was the Canadian.
You're an idiot.
So, stop the thing there, otherwise I can't get this this story out. Yeah, me and
you
Elon,
blockheaded bastard.
Trudeau.
That's me and John Laws.
Absolutely.
A police officer just grabbed me and just said, "What the fuck are you doing, cunt?"
That's stupid speech.
Oh my goodness. Everyone's having a good time. All right. So Elon said to me, look, you're not allowed to. Well, I'm an idiot.
How did Elon say this to you? Did he give you a personal call, or how was this? How did his communication?
No, it was the DM. Elon said, he said, don't do that again. And 12.
Are you seeing anybody about your mental problems?
There you go. Yeah, a bit like that. They gave me 12 hours as a timeout, like, you know, in the naughty corner.
You're in the naughty corner, Rolo. If I had my way, Velocit would be in the naughty corner next to you, wearing a big pointy dunce hat.
Oh, okay.
When you drink vodka, you just sound like this sad, lonely idiot.
No, I'm not sad and lonely at all. I'm quite happy when I talk to you guys. Yeah. Look, if I need to be put in the naughty corner, I don't mind. If you think that I should be in there, yeah.
Can we get back to the discussion we're having about radio? Because I was really enjoying the radio discussion.
Here we go. Ashes to ashes, funk to funky, we know me and you. Rick and Roller.
No matter what you're in,
you're listening to another conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now on with the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
You're in the naughty corner, Rolla. You're in the naughty corner. And if I had my way.
I'm in the naughty corner. Is that right? Say it again. Say it again, Rick. Say it again, Rick.
You're in the naughty corner, Roller. You're in the naughty corner, and if I had my way...
And then he goes on to say, if he had his way, Bella Set would be in the naughty corner with you, wearing a big, big pointy dunce hat. Because this is like 6 months ago, maybe more, and it was where Velocet got drunk. And who are you attacking? Was it Billy C? You were attacking somebody.
Billy C, and, probably.
Rollo
night,
was doing his N-word thing, and it was a complete schmozzle.
Oh, N-word, yeah.
And that's right. Rick wasn't impressed, and I'm with Rick on this one. You know, Rick and I disagree on some things, but we agree on some things, and on this particular occasion, it was a... You know, I'm not here to judge anybody, but,
John LeBond, am I allowed to say the N-word?
No.
The naughty word?
That's a good question, Roller. Let me tell you this.
Mm.
When you use it, you're doing it to intentionally piss people off. That's the issue.
Here we go.
Some people... All right, Rick and Roller.
Door to me's been sold to niggas.
Like a police officer just grabbed me and just said, "What the fuck are you doing, cunt?"
When I come here and get insulted by a guy like you, it's like, do you know what I've done in radio?
She wants to sit on my face and wriggle.
Yeah, so anyway, when you're using the word intentionally to be inflammatory.
The N-word, the naughty word.
That particular word.
Mm.
Then a lot of people, black and white, will take offense to it. Whereas if you were just hanging out with your friends and some guy says, hey, mate, hey, bro, hey, nigger, hey, whatever, it's just a word. No one cares.
But when you intentionally use it,
But you just said it right there.
How are you allowed to say it? And I'm not allowed to.
I'm not allowed to say it. But the point is, it's like any word. It's how you it's the context that matters. And you are intentionally using the word to piss people off.
Context. Trust me. I've been in court.
Use a C word. Have you guys noticed when I'm recording, I don't use a C word. Now, in real life, I use a C word all the time.
When I'm
behind a microphone, I try not to
use it. You're the biggest
I reckon I've probably used it in 10 years.
I've probably used it less than five times in 10.
When were those five times? I haven't heard it.
When I was drunk as shit, probably. And maybe. I would have used it in the context of the passive C word, not actually saying a bad thing. I still try to avoid the passive C word.
Cunt. Like,
for instance, if I say, well, and then this C-U-N-T said, oh, you can't do that. And then I said, well, as a matter of fact, I can do that. Watch me. Like, it's not using it as a negative word.
Hmm.
And so anyway, the point I'm trying to make is the C-word, the N-word, all of these words, it's how you, if you're trying to piss people
N-word,
off,
N-word,
they yeah. always say, well, you can't do that.
N-words, yeah.
And you do that intentionally, and I think it goes back to your childhood. I think you didn't get enough attention as a child, and so you learned you would get attention if you made problems. If you painted on the wall or got in trouble at school, there was this feedback loop where you got attention from being a bad kid, and this has manifested as an adult getting attention being a dickhead. That's what I think has happened here. It all goes back to childhood,
That's awesome. You called me a dickhead. Now you listen closer. To me, I went to fucking court, and this fucking lawyer, or this fucking he's not a lawyer, he was a goddamn judge. He judged me, and I was innocent.
What was the allegation? What was the accusation? What was the charge?
Well, because I called my next door neighbor a nigger.
Well, why'd you do that for? What did you hope to achieve from doing that? What was the end goal?
I take everything back now. I would take it all back now because it just wrecked the whole of my life. Yeah. I should never call my nigger neighbor,
He's not even. He's a freaking Indian. Like, what relevance does that word have to him?
I know. I know he's in India.
Well, I mean, so I'm an enemy of the state. I keep saying that.
I am an enemy of the state. Look, at the end of the day,
So I've never met your neighbors, but apparently Rick has met them, and Rick says that they're lovely people. They're just regular people just living their lives and shit. They don't want to have to deal with some drunk idiot causing problems.
I lived there for 30 fucking years, John.
So what?
So they've moved.
They didn't do anything to you. They didn't do anything to you.
Yeah, they did. I shook him by the hand. I said, don't wear a goddamn face mask.
It's his property. He can wear a freaking mask if he wants.
Yeah.
He can wear a freaking Halloween costume. He can just wear his underwear if he wants. He can mow the lawn in his underwear if he wants. It's not your business.
Yeah, that's true. But I still said to the judge, I said, look, you know, there was a face, not face mask. There was a handshake that we did. And he shook my hand. And said, I will not do the face mask thing. And he went and did the face mask on his own. Yeah.
Is that good for
me? Yeah, exactly. So he wore the face mask on his own, and I saw him doing it, and I just went, well, that's it. You know, that caused me, yeah. I know. I screwed up. So I lived there for 30 years. So he comes in, this Indian nigger comes in and suddenly I'm the bad guy. That's it. I'm the bad guy. Yeah. Mr. Whitey, who's lived there for 30 years.
Well, I tell you what, right? Can I share with you a clip from somebody who I happen to respect? Yeah, I think a very intelligent person.
You're laughing at me. You're laughing at me.
I will later, but first I want to play you a serious clip. This is from somebody who I respect. Okay. This was their reflection on what you were saying about your interaction with your neighbors. Are you ready for this? This is just a short clip. Are you ready?
All right. Let's listen.
Psychopathic. If that was my neighbor, I'd be worried he's going to come murder me in my sleep. I don't know. He's raging drunk.
That was somebody talking about your behavior. And this is a very intelligent young lady. And she was saying, if that guy was my neighbor, that guy being Rollo from Newcastle, she would think that he is psychopathic and possibly going to come and do some bad things. Listen one more time.
I'd be worried he's going to come murder me in my sleep. I don't know. He's raging drunk.
Hey, now you listen carefully close to me. I have to, for the next 30 months, I have to report, you know, to these who raped me. These people are let me grab my.
You know, Rollo, it's funny you say that because listen, but let me tell you something. You saw the most recent Joker film, Joker Folie à Deux. You're a big fan of Joker, the original Joker, 2019, with Joaquin Phoenix, directed by Todd Phillips. I went and watched the recent.
What did you think of that movie,
Folie à Deux? I've made so much content about this. That film has really had an effect on me. But the funny thing is, the interesting thing is that I've heard you for the last 6 months, possibly the last year, saying that the police did certain things to you. You know, in Folie à Deux, in the sequel, they do things to the Joker character.
They rape him.
When you saw that on the big screen, like, did you feel like, holy shit, this is like, what are the odds of this?
It was awful.
But you've been saying for a long time now that they did that to you. And I'm not saying whether I agree or disagree with your assessment. I'm just saying that's what you've been saying. Then you see this on the big screen. It's happened to Joker, the character. Mm. You identify with him. You dress up as him. And
absolutely. Yeah.
That's a strange coincidence. And
well, it happened to me. Have you ever been raped in your life?
Even if I had been, I don't think I would discuss that at truthmeets.com.
I know. But, well, I swear to God, you don't want
or
to
at fakeologist.com for that matter, which you have been doing for some time. So the point is, you've been saying this story.
Look, I'm a bit of a homosexual. I've sucked dick.
You've been saying the police mistreated you, they abused you. That's what you've been saying. And then your character, who you love, you go to the cinemas a few weeks ago.
And you
see this happening to your character.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
You went and watched it with Chrissy.
Hmm.
Oh, wow. What did she think of the film? What did she think of the...
She thought it was a bit rough, too.
Can I tell you the truth, man? I went with my lady friend, and she hated it. She was like, why did you take me this movie? I'm like, I didn't know it'd be like that. I thought it was a musical.
Yeah, look, I didn't think the movie was that bad because obviously, one, I'm there with my ex-wife, and two...
Did you hold hands while you were in the cinemas? Did you hold hands like a romantic teenage couple?
Yeah, a little bit. Why not?
After all these years, she's still coming.
Listen carefully now. This is the bit. When it comes to the rape scene, the whisper.
I didn't even think it was a rape scene. It wasn't until I got home and I read all the reviews and people were saying, there was this rape scene. I'm like, what are you talking about? There was a scene where they beat him up. And everyone's like, it wasn't just beating up.
It's heavily implied rape.
It's implied. It's not... I didn't pick up on that.
Heavily implied.
I mean, it was still brutal enough as it is, just the fact that they're beating him up. But I was only, when I got home, everyone's like, "Oh, they're raping." I'm like, "Really? I didn't detect that." They're like, "Oh, yeah, it's very implied."
Because he went on TV, and had it and just basically did like a, he went
because
well,
he said bad shit about the guards. He was saying bad shit about them. He said they were a bunch of fat fuckwits.
That's right. Exactly. And they didn't like that. They didn't like that.
Nor would they. Would you like that if someone went on TV?
No, I would. I'd be the same too. I would be a little bit. Yeah. Tell me a joke.
You know that joke they say at the start when they're shaving him and they tell a joke about the Catholic priest and the dead dog? Dude, I use that. I've used that joke on three different groups of people. One group of people didn't find it funny. But another group I used it on at the bar, because I said, have you guys seen Joker? And none of them have seen it. I wanted to talk about the movie and no one had seen it. And I was like, okay, if you haven't seen it, then I can rip off the joke. So I ripped off the joke and the whole bar thought it was incredibly funny.
Yeah.
I didn't have the heart to tell them. I ripped that joke off. I ripped it right off the latest Joker.
My favorite joke was when it goes, when he says to Gleason, he says something like, when he shot De Niro in the head in the first one, but the joke in the second one is something like, do it again, do that shot. Nah, it's not good enough. But it was.
She wants to sit on my face and wriggle.
Ooh. It's me, isn't it? Who wants to sit on my face and wriggle?
You were claiming that Beachy has a thing for you. And by the way, Beachy, I don't really know who this Beachy person is, but I've heard their comments on different audio shows. Beachy's a very intelligent person. They follow this place closely. They're a good addition to this place. So be good to this Beachy person, I say.
But Beachy has to learn how to spell scintillating.
That's the first thing they have to do.
Trust me. He'd sit on your face and wriggle as well.
These are not the thoughts that go through my mind. And I've got my own thoughts about the world.
Don't you like a good woman to sit on your face and wriggle?
Roll, if I wanted to talk about sex, I wouldn't talk about it with you. No offense. You're a different breed to me. You're from a different generation.
So let's go back to Joker Folie à Deux. Now her name was. What is her name?
Harvey. Harley Quinn is her name. Also known as Lady Gaga.
But the actor,
also known as Stefani. Right. Her name is Stefani. I can't pronounce
her. But her name
Lady Gaga is called Stefani.
Lady Gaga, yeah. Mm. Now, she... The sex scene, it was unusual.
It was bizarre.
How the hell did she get into the goddamn...
Was it all just an imagination, though? That's the problem. It's what you call an unreliable narrator. Is this thing actually something that happened?
I hear you.
This film leaves a lot up to interpretation. I think that's one of the reasons why the reviews were so bad, because people are like, we don't want to think about it. We want you to tell us what happened.
I agree. We don't want that.
We're not paying our $15 to go to the movies to think about shit. Mm. We want you to tell us exactly what happened, good or bad.
Then we
pick up our popcorn, put it in the bin, and we go home. That's it. This idea of we have to think about it.
Yeah, I like that. Why is he sitting on my erect penis, and in that with that funny look on her face, and because he's never had sex in his life, because he's a what's it called?
Autismo.
Emo. Yeah. What's it? An emo?
He's mentally damaged, man. He's mentally damaged. His mother has delusions. His mother believes that she was impregnated by Bruce Wayne, but she wasn't.
Right. Yeah.
But again, this is interpretation. Again, maybe she was, and she's been wrongly imprisoned in a mental hospital.
You're understanding exactly where.
Dude, I watched the movie twice. I went and watched it with my friend on a Monday 2 years ago. I went back the next day and watched it again. Because after the first time, I was this movie is really terrible. I feel sick. I feel violated watching this. And I was like, I'm going to give it a second chance. So I went back the next day by myself, without my friend.
Wow.
And I left the theater thinking to myself, this is a masterpiece.
Hey, This will take
the masses like, 5 or 10 years to actually work out. But when they work it out, it'll go from a 5-star rating to an 8.
I didn't mind it at all.
I heard you say you hated it.
No. Listen.
Yes.
Carefully. No.
What the fuck?
You say yes. No. What?
I don't have enough spots in my soundboard thing. I don't have my... What's the guy's name? What's that Northern European guy's name? He's like, no. Jan Erik. I've got these two clips from Jan Erik.
Okay.
No. Yes.
No. Well, no.
That's the guy.
Yeah.
That's the guy.
That's the guy.
Me. Well.
No.
That's not true.
Let's be.
Alcohol is half the food budget.
That's a big one.
I pay for a guy to mow my lawn.
You pay someone to mow your lawn?
Absolutely.
Anyway, I've got time for one more beer, folks. By the way, I had 11 days sober until today. This is my first day drinking. And, I've got one more beer left. You guys have for one
all
more
right,
beer?
One more beer. Yeah,
and then I have to have a shower. I have to go out. I have to meet some people. And
Me and you, John. Ready?
Well, Rollo, you know there was this thing that came up about 40 minutes ago. The question is, because by the way, Bonversations, a wildly popular series. It's phenomenal, the audience that it gets. But these people expect a certain level of decor and class in the conversations. And I would trust you if you were either sober or you had half a bottle of vodka. Maybe even one bottle of vodka.
You're still talking.
My audience would be like, JLB, we're paying good money for the second hour, and the second hour with him was just him babbling about some guy called John Laws, who we've never heard
of. When you drink vodka, you just sound like this sad...
Rig and roller.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to Conversation.
Or your preoccupation.
On truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, back to the conversation.
The art of conversation.
My sister, it's going to be me.
Nobody died, nobody got hurt.
Yeah, so we're back. We got with this Rollo. So I want the audience. Mate. Yeah. Let me know.
We're back.
Would you like to see Rollo as a special guest for Bombers? He's been here since the. Since 2015, when I was doing the Aussie Roundtable.
No.
Right. And now, who died?
Jeff died.
Yeah. Why did he die?
Well, he was reportedly dead, but, you know, there are incidents and accidents and hints and allegations, and you never really know exactly.
But he used to love, like, knocking around with you with the. When it came to,
he turned against me back in 2015. He told all of his audience, and back at the time, he had a much bigger audience than me.
A lot of people turned against you. He tried to drive me
out of the so called community, and I was like, "Listen,
flat Earth. Is the Earth flat, or is it?
I doubt it. What does your mate Frank think? You've met Frank in real life. Frank's a big time.
I have met Frank. Yeah.
And sometimes, Rollo, you're a little bit nasty to him about his weight. Like, sometimes you say something.
Indian homes of service stations won't let you use their toilets.
He's a fat cunt.
hold on. Vela said has a clip from Frank. What's that, Frank?
Which hole?
So he's like, I'm saying, yeah.
What is that hole? Which hole?
Yeah, which hole? Like the rings of power or something. I think he is having a go at me. Yeah, if you understand.
You know what would make my day, Rollo? If I went to Geelong and you came along and we went to karaoke, man. You, me and Frank the Soul Boy, and did a karaoke night. I can't sing quite as well as Frank, but I think we'd have some fun, man. You, me and so long as you stuck to less than a bottle of vodka. I think a bottle is about your limit. Three quarters to a full bowl is about your limit, and beyond that, you're
ring it, ring of power. I will win.
It's I fell into. It's Johnny Cash.
When you drink vodka, you just sound like this sad, lonely idiot.
Let's ask you.
I went down as the flames grew high.
Burns. The ring of fire. The ring of fire. Yeah. Come on, Bella. Can you play for us?
I heard a story about you, Rollo. You know, I've got many contacts. I've got many flying monkeys who do my bidding. They told me a couple of years ago, this is a true story. I believe these people. They told me that you met up with Frank the Soul Guy, Rick from Port Macquarie, and some other lovely Australian fellow.
Go for it.
In Sydney, a big city, huge city. Australian cities are very big. Yeah. You met up, and you were a mess. And you ended up passed out on a tram line, and the paramedics were
calling. Here he comes.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring. Bound by wild desire, I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down,
and the flames went higher, and it burns. The ring of fire.
Hey. Thank you, Billy.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, and the flames went higher. And it burns. The ring of fire.
The taste
of love is sweet.
When hearts
like ours meet. Iva, for you like a child.
Oh, you bet.
But the fire is wild. I fell into a burning ring of fire.
I went down.
The flames went higher. And it burns. The ring of fire.
the ring of fire.
Ring of fire.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, burns, burns. The ring of fire.
The ring of fire.
The ring of fire.
Burns, burns.
The ring of fire. The ring of fire. The ring of fire. The ring.
Johnny Cash. Johnny Cash. We got to give him Johnny Cash the biggest. Johnny Cash did I Was Burned. I Was Burned. Oh, years
You're thinking
ago,
of Hurt.
Hurt. Yeah, when he
Frank
when
mentioned he, that last night.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, but that was me and you sung that really well, the Ring of Fire, that Ring of Fire. Honestly, that was a lovely chant. Oh, here we go.
My sweetest friend.
It's so sad.
Everyone
before he died.
I know.
Turn it up, turn it up.
Goes
up.
Away
turn
in
it up.
Year. And you could have it all.
It all.
My empire of dirt.
Of dirt.
I will let you down. I will make you hurt. If I could start again, a million miles away, I would keep myself. I would find a way.
Well done. Well done, Bella. Johnny Cash. When it comes to Johnny Cash, there's nothing about the guy that I don't love. The Ring of Fire and yeah. So what were we talking about? John Lebon, are you still there, bro? John Lebon. Hello.
He might be cutting clips.
Oh, it could be. You're still there. That was great.
I'm still here. Thank you. I love seeing Johnny Cash because it's in my register.
No, that's fine. I
have a good time doing that.
Me and you, Joel.
Me and you.
Friends for life. Friends forever, you know what I mean?
It was well worth the investment to get those friendship rings. I'm glad. I always reach up to the stars. It's like Captain Planet. Captain Planet. I just go, Rollo, and I hold my arm up and we touch.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah. Yeah, me and John Laws, like, you know, you understand.
Do I?
I think that's the way we became best friends, because of the John Laws thing. What was it? I can't remember.
We never covered why I think I'm worth 250 grand to make Kyle and Jackie O a success. But
there you go. Well, do you want to do it now? At the end of the day, I always thought, I thought me and you with the John Laws thing was hilarious, but I can't exactly remember what it was. You know, because he's about to retire. You know, he's done 60 years or something, whatever. Do you remember me and you? Let's put me and then you.
We've done that before.
You still got the audio? The audio?
I have it, but we've done that many times.
Yeah, but I can't even remember what the... I need to know, was there a reason for what we did? Why did we do it? You know, as
for fun.
Yeah, I understand fun, but what was the fun reason? I forget. I think I did it
because you said you were going to call in, and once you called in, I thought I have to do it.
Yeah. But what was the fun reason? There had to be a reason for it. I can't remember.
to get on air? I don't know.
Yeah, get on air, I guess so. Does it ever worry you about being, like, forgotten? Not being on air or whatever?
I didn't think it used to, but the more you bring that point up to me privately, I wonder if there is some part of me that wants to have a legacy.
A legacy, yeah. Don't be forgotten. Yeah,
I want to make it a good legacy. I don't want it to be arbitrary. I want it to be a showcase of my talents.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that's again, what we were talking about earlier. Could you produce the Colin Jack Yeo show and make it a success?
Yeah.
In Melbourne and all these other states. I go,
Yeah,
I probably could. I feel like there are like, it's all these days modern millennials who seem to decide everything.
I'm
thinking like Doug Mulray production.
Mm-hmm.
Like in my head, it's like what makes good radio. I think I could do that for a fee if someone
Doug
paid
Mulray.
Me.
When I think of Doug Mulray, I think of this show that he was doing called Beauty and the Beast. They had Stan Zemanek.
Stan Zemanek was the main host of Beauty and the Beast, not Doug Mulray.
But then when he died, then they replaced him with Doug Mulray. That's the only... If you ask me Doug Mulray, I couldn't tell you anything about him other than he was the replacement host for Stan Zemanek. And I used to watch Beauty and the Beast, which for foreign listeners, for all of the listeners.
Are you sure it was that way round?
I thought Stan Zemanek died first.
Stan Zemanek
died because he had a brain aneurysm or some shit, and then they replaced him with Doug Mulray. But really? I could have that around the wrong way. Maybe it was the other way.
I couldn't be sure at this point in time which way around it was.
You guys are right. You guys are right. Look.
Because Stan Zemanek died. Because what happened was the Chaser. Remember the Chaser?
Yeah.
Yep.
The Chaser, one of the dudes on the Chaser, he's this tall dude with this fucking massive mop of hair. Pardon my language. Had this massive mop of hair.
You're right.
And when Stan Zemanek died, they did a song. You know what? I'm going to find it on YouTube. You could play it. It'd be awesome. Where... they made it. You know, Rove McManus's. You know, Rove McManus.
Rove McManus. Yeah, I know that guy.
Sorry to the foreign people on the panel and the foreign listeners. You have no idea.
Australiana tonight.
There's Australiana season here, and give me inbox it to me.
All right. Can you play a little bit the best of Stan Zemanek?
No, we're waiting for Jailbreak's bit.
No. Just play the best of Stan Zemanek while we're waiting.
Stan Zemanek was more of an Alan Jones character. He was a host character. Doug Mulray created bits. Doug Mulray had a plethora of bits. He was like a bit comedian.
Stan
Zemanek's just a host. They're different things.
I know.
Not to say that, you know, when I was like 9 years old, I used to ring into Stan Zemanek and tell jokes, and then he'd play them once, and then he'd make fun of them.
What station was that?
2UE or something back in the day? I don't know.
2UE is like one of the main stations of Sydney.
I was a little kid in his bedroom just listening to the radio. That's where my whole...
Is 2UE your version of 3AW?
Yes, that is the relationship. But maybe I was wrong about what I was listening to.
I've put this in the show chat.
All right, here we go.
Can you play this Chaser Eulogy song?
Let's have a listen. Yeah. Go for it.
I'm just waiting for the ad to clear before I put up the fader.
Oh, okay. We got some time. So for foreign listeners, the Chaser... So the ABC is the Australian Broadcasting. It's the government-funded channel. Back in the day, we had five channels, 7, 9, and 10, our commercial, and then channel 2, ABC was the main government one. And these guys, they're all Sydney University, they're all well-to-do guys, but their shtick was anti-establishment, which I used to believe in that crap because I was young and naive. Only when I got older, I realized these guys are all
Is that when you went on Q&A?
I was on Q&A.
I was just joking. It's a call. It's a callback to fart. Don't worry.
Did we talk about that? Did we talk about me being on Q&A on Fart Podcast? Did we?
Yes, the reunion. Would I lie to you? You said you're on Q&A.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. Yeah, I did see you.
On I was just making a joke. Anyway, here it is.
Oh, here we go.
My great-grandfather died this week. I couldn't stand him, actually. Nobody could. But as soon as he passed away, everybody went around saying what a top bloke he was. So I'd like to dedicate this song to you, Gramps. He was very hard of hearing. He was dull and domineering. Misogynist, cantankerous and vain. He hit the bottle every night. He hit my grandma out of spite. And those stories about his bunions were a pain. But all that's now forgotten once he took his final breath. Yes, even pricks turn into top blokes after death. You don't believe me? Allow me to furnish you with a few examples. Steve Irwin lived in khaki, a cartoon kamikaze who taunted crocs and tops so frequently. And Brocky was some rev head who pumped the air with pure lead. So anti-green he drove into a tree. But all that was forgotten once they took their final breath. Yes, even tools turn into top blokes after death. John Lennon chose the hippie life. He chose some nutbag for a wife. And his songs were never quite as good as Paul's. Jeff Buckley fooled all lovers. Just one album, mostly covers. With more wailing than Japan does off our shores. But all that was forgotten once he took his final breath. Yes, even wankers turn into top blokes after death. Princess Di was just a slut for sex when they looked in the car wreck. Her dress was wet with Arab semen stains. Stan Zamanek was a racist jock, a fatso xenophobic cock, whose views were more malignant than his brain. But all that was forgotten once he took his final breath. Yes, even arseholes turn into top blokes after death. It's not how they live that counts, but how we rewrite the book. When it comes to truth, it's best to use restraint. It pays to throw away the facts and have a rose-coloured look. When he dies, Martin Bryant will look a saint. Don Bradman was a total farce, a grumpy, greedy, tired ass who couldn't even score one run last time he played. Kerry Packer was a brothel chief, a tax cheat and a kidney thief. And procreating Jamie was the worst mistake he made. But all that was forgotten once he took his final breath. Yes, even turn into top blokes after death. Belinda in the closet.
Please.
Rove McManus, I think. Let me double check that. We're going back 15 years here, folks. Remember?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's correct. Rove McManus was married to Belinda Rabbit.
Even local Baghdad looters, even baby bunny rooters, even reckless drunken drivers, even rodent sperm imbibers, even violent poofter bashers, even public penis flashers, even rotting corpse molesters, even human piss ingesters, even tiny kitten kickers, even anal finger lickers, even Anna Bloody Corrin. Yes, even she will be a top bloke after death.
So I sit here and I criticize them, but that's actually very talented. Whoever, I don't know if he wrote that, but he performed it. Whoever wrote that is actually very talented. Like, Australia does have some talent for proper comedy and like art, but we don't appreciate our artists enough. So I don't know what happened to that guy. One of the other hosts of The Chaser, the shorter dude, he's now doing a regular show with some other ABC guy about the elections. And YouTube auto-played it for me. This is like a month ago. YouTube must have realized I'm watching all of his Trump speeches. YouTube auto-played me this ABC with one of the Chasers. Like, now the Chasers, like, that's a long time ago. But hold on.
Rig and roll it.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to Conversation
or your preoccupation
on truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now back to the conversation.
The art of conversation.
sax off.
Yes, anyway, they have this show now. One of the Chaser dudes has a weekly American election show on YouTube. Mm. And at first I was like, this is going to be terrible. Mm. But I watched a few minutes. I'm like, this is actually pretty good. It's fair and balanced. Did I say that? And those Chaser guys were talented and they were funny.
Did you laugh? Because when it comes to
I used to be
comedy,
a teenager when I watched them. I was like 16, 17, 18 when I was watching the Chaser.
Yeah, my favorite when it comes to stand up comedy was the on the ABC. They were, what were they called? The three boys. They were so fantastically funny. I honestly laughed so hard. On the ABC. Now, what were they called? It's like they were from. Now, what were they from? They were from.
Rollo, what the hell are you talking about?
They were from a, like they're called the.
I'm making fun of you.
I'm so drunk now. I can't even.
You're in the naughty corner, Rollo. You're in the naughty corner, and I've eyed my way.
The naughty corner. That's right.
Can I come here and get insulted by a guy like you? It's like, do you know what I've done in radio?
Yeah, yeah. Like a police officer just grabbed me and just said, "What the fuck are you doing, cunt?" it's all good. It's all
some
good.
Of these
good.
These women, they're so stupid.
Oh, there's Donald Trump. There you go.
Anyway, so I've got about 20 minutes left. My last period.
All right.
This has been fun, man. Truthmeets.com.
No. Listen. These three. Again, I've had quite a few drinks tonight and quite a lot of cocaine. Sorry. I've caked up too much.
How much are you paying? $350 a gram? $350 a gram for chopped up shit?
Yeah. And it's absolutely sweet. I'm just trying to think of the ABC. These guys were hilarious. I honestly think they were the funniest. But I can't remember the name of the band or the name of the
Where's Beachy? We need Beachy to be like Rollo. This is
well, Beachy loves. Basically loves my fucking King Charles Cavalier Spaniel. I know that. I know that thing.
She wants to sit on my face and wriggle.
Yeah, sit on my face and wriggle. There you go. I love that. Would you want to sit on my face and wriggle?
Rollo, I think you would be a real asset to this corner of the internet. If you could just just dial it back three or four. Notches.
Yeah, that's cocaine. Have you ever had a woman sit on your face and wriggle and like and break?
Even
your
if I had, do you think I'd talk about it here at Truth Meets or
absolutely.
Do you ever hear me talk about these kinds of things? No, you don't.
No, absolutely no way. It's called
class. Some of us have some class.
No.
So drunk.
Yes. It's mind your own business. Have you ever said that? Say it to me right now. Mind your own business.
You know, by the way, not shocked from Georgia and Linda from Ohio have been very quiet. I would love to hear their feedback on this episode of Truth Meets.
Does this show
have a name? Do you have a name for these shows? Like, what's the name of this show? What is this?
Anything that's put out without a specific show goes under the Truth Meets banner. So
good, man.
This will be a Truth Meets conversation.
What episode is this? Episode number?
Where are we up to?
7.
13 or something?
Ooh, 13. Oh, lucky 13. Ooh. Very nice.
Wow.
Nice. Hey, Linda and Not Shocked, do you have any thoughts?
Oh, sorry. Okay, so the last one was MK Arvo MK Ultra. So this will be number 16.
So you're even behind on your own show. Even you have lost.
I didn't.
Track
I just had to check. I know it was in. I know it was. I know it was in the teens. I know it was in the teens. I just didn't know where we were at so far. Yeah, but that's the problem. See, Ab puts out everything in like everything is one show. Because I categorize things in individual shows. We've got a lot more episodes than it appears because they're all categorized into different shows. You know what I mean? If you're only making everything one show, it's easy to count. You just like everything's one show of the same show. But I put everything into conversations, Rick and Rollo, conversations.
I stayed here instead of going for my walk. But tomorrow I'm listening to TMC RAR 006 from 26 October.
Right, so pop culture, John Laws, Nostalgia Hour, yeah.
Oh, another John Laws, Nostalgia Hour. Pretty much.
No, that was a joke. That was an inside joke because I kept playing a ding. Every time Rollo mentioned John Laws, I said I'd play a ding. So, like, Rick pointed out that Rollo mentions John Laws too much, so every time anyone says John Laws, I play a ding.
Yeah.
Bro, I'm not even joking, man. I really believe that was one of the highlights of Rollo's life was the day that you and him called into that's not a criticism. I'm not trying to, like, judge him for it. I'm just saying that's...
No, I agree.
You can base that's a person's classic. Life on how they speak about their life. And how does Rollo speak about his life? He speaks about the day he called into Laws' show over and over again. And, dude, I've met a lot of people. I've traveled the world. I've met some people. You meet these people and their best days were high school football, or their best days were in their early 20s playing footy for whoever, or they were in a band and they didn't travel the world, but they got a couple of gigs up north or down south, and the best days were the gigs and like former footballers or musicians, those are the best days. Whereas with Rollo, the best day was calling into Laws' show. Those were the highlights,
it.
Man.
That's it.
Those are the good old days, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay,
absolutely.
Who we got? And Rollo, are you there?
How are you doing, mate?
I'm all right, thank you.
All good? Like, it's lovely to hear you back. You're still number one here in Newcastle?
Yeah, of course
on
we
UAC?
Are. Yeah, of course we are.
You are, you'll always be number one here, mate.
Okay.
More donkeys than airplanes are killed by, you killed by more donkeys than airplanes?
Yep.
That was your useless fact this morning?
That's quite right, yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, look, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Last time we spoke, I wanted to talk about, you went off air on September 10th.
We'll leave that there.
How about that? I used to love this waiting online and just enjoying that. It was classic. So you guys, you know, you understand what talkback radio is all about. Who's the most? How about you?
Hey, if anybody's gonna beat my sister, it's gonna be me.
I'm talking and I can't shut up. It's a manic problem. I need to be slapped in the face. Stop me, somebody.
The temperature in Toronto is brother. Who gives a fuck? I'm making fun of you, you asshole. So, where did the making fun of you, your asshole, come in? Where was that? Was that tonight?
That was from tonight, mate.
Yeah. You got to send me. I need an updated list of all those ones. They're good. I like them.
Well, I want to send you an updated list of my soundboard. There's literally now almost 600 clips in my soundboard.
600?
Like 100.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's gotten.
You've been going crazy with the.
I have. That's a fact. But the problem is, I can't send it to you as an email anymore.
Because
it's above the attachment.
Who's the most famous person you've ever spoken to in your mind?
Who cares? Who's famous? Famous?
Yeah, I've ever spoken to in your mind.
You're gonna suck their dick.
Who's the most famous? Like in your mind? Yeah, in
who
your
I've
mind.
Personally spoken to, like in real
yeah,
life.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like me when I met Angus Young, right, from AC/DC, right?
You met Angus Young.
Yeah,
I think Rollo's making this up on the fly.
making this up, really.
I've never heard you mention you met Angus Young. You're just like, what?
I met John Laws. John Laws, would you?
Yeah, we know that because you got a photo with him. But Angus Young, you've never once said in the whole history of fart that you met Angus Young, and now you're suddenly saying it.
I met Angus Young.
I think you're making that up. I think you're just like adding a little mayonnaise to the story.
You're adding some mayo to the story here, brother.
Totally true. Totally true.
You were in the mosh pit for an AC/DC concert, and now you're telling us that you met Angus Young.
Yeah,
those things are not quite the same.
So what? That's really good.
I met Dave Hughes back in the day, but I didn't really meet him. I was at a game because he supports Carlton Football Club in the AFL. And I was at a game between Carlton and somebody else.
Yeah, but
this is the Docklands Stadium in Melbourne, which holds like 50,000 people.
Who did you meet?
Well, I didn't really meet him, but I walked up to him and I said, hey, man, are you Dave Hughes? And he said, yes, I am.
No, he said, yes, I am. How's that voice?
He's got the high-pitched voice. Yeah. So I didn't really meet him. I just walked up to him because he was just, I guess his friend was in the bathroom or something. So he was just waiting there. And I was like,
yes, I am.
I walked up and I said, and this is before he got big. This is before he was doing breakfast radio for, who's he working for? Nova. Whoever he works for, this is before he got the breakfast.
Who is Dave Hughes? I don't even know.
He's a comedian.
I think he works for Nova now.
Yeah,
okay.
He worked for the Kiss slot. And I used to see him every week. So
that's right.
I can't claim
the Kiss.
I used to talk to the guy every week.
You were with Kyle
when he was on Drive. I used to see him every week. Yeah.
Yeah, Carl Sandler.
In Sydney,
but
he's in Melbourneian. He's not a Sydney sider. Was he in Sydney? Was he?
He would come to Sydney to. He was doing a TV show in Sydney. Even though the drive time show originated out of Melbourne, he would be in Sydney faking it. You know, like he'd be in Sydney doing the show. So we used that to set up a studio.
He was doing this thing called Hughesy, Kate and Dave, and Kate was Kate Lanbrook, and she was popular because she was on the panel.
She goes back to the panel years ago that used to be on Triple M and TV. You know, the panel. What was the show called that used to be on, the TV show? Was it just called The Panel?
It was called The Panel, mate. It was on Channel 10 every Wednesday night from 10 p.m.
Right, yeah. It used to be a TV show, but they were also simulcasting it on Triple M as well, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, probably they were. And then Rob Sitch.
I met John Laws.
Okay.
Do you know who
we're
that
talking about something
that,
else.
Bro. At least 700 times we've heard about that. Yeah, so Rob Sitch and Santo Chilaro and these other guys who were on the panel. They were the guys behind Working Dogs Productions.
Yes.
They're the guys who made The Castle and then
you met
The Dish.
Yep. You met them?
Like they were actually filmmakers. And
and All Aussie Adventures. Remember the
what's his name? Glenn Roberts or
Glenn Robinson, who used
Glenn
to
Robinson,
do
yeah.
Glenn Robinson.
What was that?
All Aussie Adventures.
Yes, one of the best Australian shows of all time. If anyone wants to know about that, All Aussie Adventures.
All Aussie Adventures.
It's time to hit the road.
Let's go.
Yeah.
All Aussie Adventures. Time to hit the road.
Yeah.
You met Glenn Robbins is so fun. He's so funny.
There's this show my parents watch. It's like a... Rollo, shut up. There's a Channel 7 show with... it's like they're all sitting around a bar and they're having furfies and that. It's like a sports show. And then sometimes Glenn Robbins is on it and he takes part. And my parents were the first. I never realized this. They go, he's pissed. And I'm like, shit, it is. And the more you look at Glenn Robbins, you can see his eyes are all glazed over and he's just like pissed on the show performing skits. It's so funny.
Oh, well done. Again, well done.
You know what I noticed, Rollo? I've noticed that you only stumble over your words when you're saying I. It's when you tell a story about yourself.
Yeah, I met four or five times.
My brother
slept with Kylie Minogue.
Yeah, you say that. Run. You know I don't believe that story.
It did her up the bum as well.
If he tells you the story, maybe I'll believe
him. I met the guy from...
Does your brother know that you come on the internet to these audiences of a few dozen people? Does your brother know that you come to these people and you tell them the piece of the continent? Does he know that?
Do you tell your brother that you tell other people that he did Kylie Minogue up the bum? I'm not adding mayonnaise. That's what Rollo told me. He fucked her in the ass, is what he said.
He was adding mayonnaise. Hey, you're right there.
Don't pretend I'm adding the mayonnaise, Rollo. You said he did her up the bum. And she liked it up the bum. That's what you said. Oh, you take it back. Oh, you take it back now. Even if that story was true, which I don't believe,
it's Rollo adding the up the bum element. Like, that's classic Rollo. That's classic Rollo mayonnaise. Even if the Kylie Minogue story was true, which I really doubt.
Everybody calm down.
He's the one adding that part of the story.
Everybody calm down. Look.
That's why we all have to calm down. Because it's fake.
I met this fellow. He was this pirate of the Caribbean in Sydney. His name's Johnny Depp. Do you remember him?
We can't take you seriously anymore.
The bar that I drink at, one of the Frenchmen, he's a drunk. He always plays this song that goes, Johnny Depp, 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 Johnny Depp. Do you know the song? Anyway. Yeah. I've put a thing in the show notes. Can you just play a couple of minutes? It's a 4-minute clip. Just play like 1 minute, 1 or 2 minutes there.
Play 4 minutes.
This is Russell Coit's All Aussie Adventures.
This is one of my favorite shows of all time.
All right. Let's do it.
Dude, we're so
I'm just going to wait for, I'm just gonna wait for the ad. Just let the ad go past.
We're the millennials.
Russell Coit, the camera, the cuts with when the handshakes are wrong and all that, fucking gold.
He goes to shake a white man's hand.
It's that Aboriginal handshake.
Would they still get away with it these days? I don't think they would. Spoken and authorized by
Larry Spender. Hey everyone, I'm looking forward to
I'm Russell Coit, and this is my backyard, the Aussie app.
Alright, so the first design has some really cool elements to it.
Wild pig.
Now we could shoot him, or could use this. An Aboriginal hunting boomerang, straighter and a lot heavier, designed to kill and not to come back. Missed him, boss, mate. Up here, recovery equipment is not just a necessity, it's a must. I hate to think what would have happened to these two amateurs if we hadn't come along. Beautiful old bridge. Certainly don't make them like this anymore. They certainly don't. And I tell you what, with the mercury nudging 110 degrees, I knew where I wanted to be. Camp chair. Why spend $50 on a piece of Chinese plastic when you can have this? Oh, just one more thing. Cheers. I'm going to enjoy this.
An amphibious boat like this is a top way of checking out some special sights. And these happy holiday makers were enjoying the ride of their life. Courtesy of Rear Admiral Russell.
Got my microphone going here. Just gotta...
And I tell you what, there's nothing like going off the beaten track. It was great catching up with some old mates and sharing a few laughs.
Yeah, a mate of mine's got a property near here and he said to me, you know, I can ride from sunup till sundown and not come to a fence. And I said to him, that's a pretty big property. And he said, I know, we just haven't got any fences.
Rig and roll it.
No matter what your age,
you're listening to another conversation.
Or your affiliation
on truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, on with the conversation.
in the art of conversation.
State, I keep saying that.
Yeah, good to see you again, mate. Reckon we could go out and have a bit of a look around for some bush tucker?
Okay, yep.
Just before we go, mate, I'm on a seafood diet. If I see food, I eat it.
Right.
Someone who knows more about the old gang than anyone I know is an old mate of mine by the name of Steve Leach. Let's see if he's in. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Russell.
It's a Butte tackle shop owned by an old mate of mine, Peter Fuchs.
G'day, Pete. How are you, mate? Good to see you again. G'day, Pete. How are you, mate?
A quick bang to the left. It was time for the guest of honour to touch down in the nick of time.
In the outback, we've got beautiful places to swim, and it doesn't cost you a cent.
Fading sunset around the campfire light. I lay my swag beneath the starry sky.
Fakeologist.com.
John, thank you. Great job, John.
That's the best compilation truth, I've seen truth, of truth, all the truth, best truth, bits truth. Of Glenn Robbins. Yeah, that's fucking fantastic.
Exactly. Truthmeets.com. Yeah, yeah. Wonderful. Glenn Robbins. He's an absolute legend when it comes to making people laugh. He makes me laugh.
Well, the cool thing about that is that's like a meta, like a self-referential joke of... Because back then this was a guy called Troy Dan. You guys remember Troy Dan? So Troy Dan was this outback adventurer, but all of his audience was American. Because Americans don't know the difference between a bullshit guy and a real guy. And they thought Troy Dan was real. Whereas Australians are like, Troy Dan's a freaking, this is bullshit, man. So Glenn Robbins comes along and he says, I'm going to make a fake Troy Dan show called All Aussie Adventures. And so, like, we were laughing along at how silly the Outback Adventurer TV show is. And yeah, smart guy. He was on the panel. He was on the panel as well, wasn't he, Glenn Robbins? He was on the panel
Glenn, the panel was a Santo Chilaro production. And yes, Glenn Robbins
Santo
was
Chilaro,
also. Chilaro. Glenn Robbins was also live on Triple M throughout the country.
Do you like being laughed at?
Well, I've got this philosophy. I'd rather people laugh than cry. Mm. And I'd rather them laugh.
Yeah, John, do you like being laughed at?
Well, you know this guy, you know your main man, Rollo over here, which, by the way, Bella said, in case you've forgotten this, you spent a year dedicating many hours every, was it Saturday?
Yeah.
Every Saturday to producing a show. For two late middle-aged drunkards who have no appreciation for the craft, and one of them was this guy called Rollo. And
I love comedy. I love comedy, especially down there in Melbourne. You know, hey, it's Saturday. There was a TV show. You know, it's Saturday night. Do you remember that show?
What was his name? Daryl Summers
hosted Hey Hey It's Saturday, and then he went on to do Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
There was a funny scene when he had Muhammad Ali came to Australia for some reason I have no idea, and Daryl Summers referred to him as a boy. Now, in Australian language, boy means nothing.
You got wrong. That's wrong.
That was Newton.
That was Bert.
Oh, was that Newton? Sorry, I got it wrong.
Yeah. No, that's okay.
Which Newton was that?
Bert Newton.
Oh, sorry, you're right. It was Bert.
Yeah.
No, you're right. Here's how I got confused. Bert Newton did The Boy with Muhammad Ali. Daryl Summers had that guy who sings "What a Wicked Game to Play." Like, you know, what was his name?
Yeah.
Harry Connick Jr.
Harry Connick Jr. was on.
Didn't sing "Wicked Games." You're misremembering. Still, Harry Connick Jr. Harry Connick Jr. was on.
I've had a few frothies.
Harry Connick Jr. was the one who took offense to blackface, but he wasn't the "Wicked Games" singer. No.
Yeah. You're right there. So what Harry Connick Jr.
We need to get our dots eyed and our T's crossed here.
Please do.
Who sings "Wicked Games"?
So what happened? What happened?
Chris Isaac. Oh. Okay, you're right.
Harry Connick Jr. was the one in Hey Hey, Saturday Night Live that took offense to blackface.
Daryl Summers was the guy where Harry Connick Jr. was on the show and these dudes did a blackface rendition.
That's right, the Australian audience has no problems with because we don't have all of these cultural hang-ups. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They went to an ad break, they come back, and Harry Connick Jr. is like, "Where I come from,
this
would not be acceptable."
He was crazy. Daryl Summers was so.
We spent so many years trying to make black people not look stupid, and then you do this blackface. That's what happened. So that's how I confused. Whereas I went down the camera.
I said, "Look, there's absolutely no way you come here to Australia and you do that, and there's no way. There's no way."
Joel just poured me a glass of wine and it's like filled all the way up. What the hell? That's the biggest glass of wine.
Anyway, guys, I just finished my last beer, so I have to have a shower. I'm going out tonight. I'm going out tonight.
Good.
This is my first drink in 12 days, by the way. I've been sober for 11 days.
Really?
Yeah. 12 days.
Hey,
but I thought, you know what, if Ella City's there at truthmeets.com, I can have a couple of frothies and come and have a catch-up. This is good fun, man.
Yeah, where are you living? Bangalore or something?
Bulgaria, bro.
Bulgaria.
It's like seven million. I don't believe that. I think there's 5 million. There's five million people here.
What man are you going to sleep with tonight?
Rollo, you're a strange character. This is why I've got mixed feelings about inviting you to conversations. Because I would love to have you on the record.
What woman are you going to sleep with?
Because Bella Sitt, let's be honest. Not Bella Sitt. Rollo, let's be honest, man. You don't have much time left. It could be a week, it could be a month, it could be a year, but you're on borrowed time, okay? You're on very borrowed time. So I'd love to have one conversation with you before it's all over.
We're all on borrowed time. Come on, you know that.
Yeah, but I've got more borrowed time than you. I think Vel said no.
We're all borrowed time, but I got more borrowed time than you.
I'm more borrowed time than you. Yeah.
The temperature in Toronto. Toronto is blah blah. Who gives a fuck?
So, Rollo, here's the thing. I want to have you on Bombersessions as a special guest. Most of my audience.
Don't fuck up your opportunity, Rollo.
But if we have you on the show, I think we need Vel Sitt to be your handler to just.
No, I'm not volunteering.
You can be sober, or you already said you were going to come back here and do shows.
So just do that.
Yes, from late November. Not now because I'm busy.
Okay.
Late November.
Truth Meets is the place to be for John LeBond.
This is the place to be. So this is the last time
we'll ever get to chat.
No, I look in the refrigerator and I'm like,
Joel, you are such a good provider.
Joel is a very good provider.
It's the first time of many you'll be able to chat, if anything. I pay for a guy to mow my lawn.
You pay someone to mow your lawn?
Absolutely.
He pays someone to mow his lawn. Yeah. Hey, you know what might happen? If Christy fucking bungles this idiot out of her house, Rollo will be stuck with Joel and Vel Sitt and Sarah.
Yeah.
And he'll be like, what are you providing with us here? What if you mow the lawns, Rollo? Do you know how to start a lawnmower, Rollo? Have you ever started a lawnmower in your life?
I do.
No, this is a serious question. Have you ever started a lawnmower in your life? I would be surprised if you have. I am sure that Rick has. I have. I'm sure that Vel Sitt has. Have you ever actually started a lawnmower in your life, Rollo? No, you haven't, have you?
No,
you've never started a lawnmower.
Are you talking about electric lawnmower or
no? I'm talking about a lawnmower with an engine, with a two-stroke engine. An engine. You have to pull the cord.
Yeah, this is what 20 years ago. Yeah. Yeah,
you mowed the lawn.
It's like if I start my
Joel just poured me a glass of wine. It's filled all the way up. What the hell? That's the biggest glass of wine.
I do have a my Porsche. Yeah,
God forbid that Chrissy kicks you out. But if he does, you know that Rick is too smart. Rick is too smart to let you come in. Inhabit his
turn the engine on my car.
Is your plan to head out west, go over the mountains, and then
live in a million?
Is that the plan?
I live in a $1 million house.
Your $1 million house is sold, Rollo. It's time to move on. You don't own $1 million house anymore. It's over. So if Christy kicks you out, and Rick won't take it because he's too smart for that, is your plan to go and inhabit Lithgow? Is that your plan? You can come to Plovdiv, I don't think you would survive 2 weeks here. Hey, they would sort you out so fast. Someone like you wouldn't last here 2 weeks. 3 weeks tops. Absolute maximum.
I'm still talking to you.
They would sort you out so quick, man. They would see you coming.
We're still talking, aren't we?
Well, we're still on the air, yeah.
Yeah.
If I have a baby, I'm going to call it JLB.
You still happy that you're talking to me?
Well, I'd love to have you as a guest at the Bombersations, but like I've tried to explain at least 5 or 6 times.
No, trust me.
If you've had too much vodka. It's a disaster.
No, I don't drink vodka anymore.
I wouldn't even want to interview me if I had too much vodka. Mm. And I can't drink as much as you. Dude, you give me half a bottle of vodka, that's it. That's too much. You can have a bit more than that, but... But
yeah,
more than
you'd be terrible. Hey, Darcy,
Well, see, now that's what I'm talking about, is when you start being silly. You start being intentionally antagonistic. See, this is the issue.
No, I'm not intentionally.
And my Uncle Dave J does the same thing. Crazy Dave J does the same thing. Antagonistic.
No, you're one of my best friends.
Like, a police officer just grabbed me and just said, "What the fuck are you doing,
Cass? You know you're a liar. You are a false witness to murder.
Your wife naked on your bed is sexy. You know, there's a difference. And you know what I mean.
It used to be anyway.
You know, unless you married a dog like Ab.
So don't get me started. The guys, it's been fun. It's been great. So thank you, Velocir, for organizing Truth Meets.
Thank you, John.
This has been sensational.
John LeBlanc.
What do I want?
Looking forward to recapturing the energy of the old times at truthmeets.com and have you here permanently.
Yeah. Absolutely. John LeBlanc.
What's your point, Rollo? I'm listening. Once we finish this call, I'm having a shower.
I'm putting some clothes on and I'm going out to mix with normal people.
No offense to you guys, but you guys don't really mix with normal people. I do. Okay. And when I'm drunk, I'm often. When I'm sober, right, I really, listen. They're very boring people. But I'm drinking, I love normal people.
There's a guy called Donald Trump. There's a guy called, and there's this massive,
These women, they're so stupid.
So there's Donald Trump, okay? And there's a guy.
They came from mental institutions and insane asylums.
and the MMA guy, the guy. Who was the MMA guy?
We're all in love. Every place I go, it's a love fest.
I love it. Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. Well done, Bella.
There is one for a bargain. The wine she buys from Aldi is like $3.
Joel just poured me a glass of wine and it's like filled all the way up. What the hell?
That's the biggest glass of wine. Half the food budget.
That's a big one.
Oh my goodness! You guys.
If I have a baby, I'm gonna call it JLB. and talking and I can't shut up. It's a manic problem. I need to be slapped in the face. Stop me, somebody.
Well, I mean, I'm an enemy of the state. I keep saying
you're
that.
You're in the naughty corner, boy. You're in the naughty corner. And I've had my way.
She wants to sit on my face and wriggle.
When I come here to get insulted by a guy like you, it's like, do you know what I've done
here? I'm making fun of you. The temperature in Toronto is...
Well, who gives a fuck?
John LeBlanc, I would... To be on your server, I would be every... I love your
server. At this point.
Apparently I'm unemployable for some reason. They wouldn't take me at the call center. Nobody died and we got hurt.
We have been driven down crazy conspiracy rabbit holes.
He has gone too far when he called me a homosexual.
You're a dog, I do. Your wife naked on your bed. Okay. You know, there's a difference. You know what
the
I mean?
The one now being played for $3.
Go into that closet 3 days. We can do that too.
I love it. Every place I go, it's a love fest.
That's not true.
Truth Revealed is immersed in user-generated fan fiction.
It's the I look at the covers, I look in the refrigerator, and I'm like, Joel, you are such a good provider.
If anybody's going to beat my sister, it's going to be me.
Joel just poured me a glass of wine, and it's like filled all the way up. What the hell?
Oh, that's a married a dog like that.
I think it's just so good.
You need to underthink a little more.
It's ridiculous, man.
Blah, 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 blah. This is an end of show, man.
You need to take this to the drawing.
What's in your head?
Yeah. You can't stop it.
Truth Revealed is immersed in user-generated fan fiction.
They came from mental institutions and insane asylum.
Hey, if anybody's going to beat my sister, it's going to be me.
I look at the cupboards, I look in the refrigerator, and I'm like, Joel, you are such a good provider.
I pay for going to my mother.
Well, you taste someone to blow your lawn?
Absolutely.
Alcohol is half the food.
That's a big one.
Glass of
wine, and it's like filled all the way up. What the hell? That's the biggest glass of wine.
Fuck you!
The wine.
No, no.
Your wife naked on your bed.
Okay.
You know, there's a difference. You know what I mean?
That guy just
you're a dog like that. You know, unless you married a dog like that.
He didn't go too far when he called me a homosexual. Nobody died, nobody got hurt.
You know you're a liar. You are a false witness to murder.
We have been driven down crazy conspiracy rabbit holes.
John LeBlanc, I would be on your server. I would be everything. I love your server.
Anti-vaxxers are a cult. At this point,